Orchestra.
From the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. 10 o'clock, third day of December 2024. Here we are, the last month of December, and we are still rocking with the Radio Vault, aren't we? Well, we are going at full speed into the holiday season. And that applies to the programming we bring you from generations ago during this program. We're going to kick it off in just a moment with the Bob Hope Show from 1941. His annual Christmas show from way back when. We have on tap the Great Gildersleeve from 1944, where he reads The Night Before Christmas. We're going to go Christmas shopping once again with Jack Benny, from his show from 1940. And the annual Christmas program from Phil Harris and Alice Faye from 1949. And we're still not done. Can you believe it? It's the December 22nd, 1947 broadcast of Deluxe Radio Theater. What play did they do then? They recreated the movie Miracle on 34th Street. Where they talk about, is there a real Santa Claus or does he exist? Going to jump back now to the Bob Hope Show. A lot of the jokes are kind of dated, and you won't get a lot of the jokes, but nonetheless, a time capsule from broadcast radio. I believe this was on NBC. Exact date, December 23rd, 1941. Let's go back. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, aunts and uncles, dogs and cats, you have arrived on WHFR and Radio Vault.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Christmas Tree Hope,
telling you to use Pepsodent and your teeth will be evergreens. Well, I'm tired tonight. I've been wrapping packages all day. Every year I like to send away the product that California produces most of that year. One year I sent away oranges, another year lemons. But this year I'm having a little trouble. How do you wrap up a Douglas bomber? And I've been wrapping packages. And yesterday I went to the post office to mail some packages. What a line. Believe it or not, just standing in line, I passed my own house twice. I never saw a line that long before. I had a package I wanted to mail to a friend of mine in Boston, and by the time I walked to the end of the line, I handed it to him. And what mobs there are in the post office. For a half an hour, I ran around yelling blackout before I discovered somebody had shoved my head into an inkwell. What a mix-up in that post office. One fellow walked in with a package under his left arm. After he got waited on, he walked out with a package under his chin and his left arm was on its way to Kansas City. And boy, did that mob shove you around. I stuck out my tongue to lick a stamp and I washed three windows before I could get it back. And I saw a little kid scrawling on a piece of paper. I said, writing a letter to Santa Claus? And he said, nope, I'm writing to Governor Olson. What does he mean, closing Santa Anita? So I said, what are you so sore about? He said, well, my mother's out of a job. She was one of Crosby's jockeys. And on the post office wall, there was a picture of Uncle Sam pointing his finger at you, saying, Uncle Sam wants you. And the crowd was shoving so hard, Uncle Sam is now saying it while sucking his thumb. But you know, Christmas is so exciting, and you should see the Christmas trees on Hollywood Boulevard today. They floated down from the Yukon. I love Christmas trees. This year I decided to dig up my own tree, roots and all, and boy, did I dig deep. I dug down so deep that twice I ran into Dick Tracy chasing the mole. I finally bought a nice tree, and I tied my tree on my car with the bottom sticking out in front of the radiator, and then I drove down Hollywood Boulevard. I heard somebody yell, don't cross the street, Mamie. Now they're using battering rams. But it's wonderful here in California. 5 years ago, I planted a little seed for a fir tree in my yard, and now I can look out of my window anytime and see the gopher that ate it. But my tree looks pretty this year. I wanted to fix an ornament on top of the tree, so I bent it way down and told Skinny Ennis to hold it. It took us a half hour to scrape him off the ceiling. I set up the electric trains for my little nephew under the tree before I went to bed. I walked in and turned them on in the dark. Then I accidentally stepped on the electric tracks with my bare feet. I was finally brought down by the 4th Interceptor Command. But you know, there's one man in this program who knows all about wrapping and mailing packages for Christmas. Oh, Professor Colonna, come here.
Coming.
Christmas seals.
Professor, this is the gay Yuletide season. You know, you look as though you've been down in the dumps.
Gad, he knows where his present is coming from.
No, really, Colonna, you seem to look a trifle sad tonight.
Yes, you see, it's Jim. He never brings me pretty flowers. But I'll go on carrying the torch for Jim.
Colonna, you fool, you're both men, so how can you carry the torch for Jim?
Why not? He's a plumber.
Well, Professor, tell us something about Christmas in Hollywood.
All right. You know, people in Hollywood take everything for granted. For instance, every night for weeks now, Santa Claus has been riding up and down Hollywood Boulevard. Hope you yourself have seen Santa riding up and down Hollywood Boulevard. But do you know why he keeps riding up and down the boulevard night after night?
No, why?
Can't find parking space.
Professor, let's tell the folks the proper way to wrap a Christmas gift. Now, folks, we have a couple of mailbags right up here at the microphone.
Speak for yourself, Hope.
Colonna, this is the end.
Well, stick around. It may be a double feature. Gosh, Hope, I can hardly wait till I see Santa riding in his sleigh Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. He'll ride his reindeer down from the clouds. Then Santa will stop his sleigh on my roof. He'll climb down the chimney. Then he'll climb a little further down my chimney. Now he's just a few more feet to go, and he'll be at the bottom of my chimney.
Ouch!
I should have put the fire out.
Francis Langford and the Six Hits and a Miss singing Winter Wonderland. Ladies and gentlemen, we members of the cast of this show have been wondering for a long time what we should give Bob Hope for Christmas. Of course, we could give him the same thing he gave us, but he's already got an autographed picture of Bob Hope. So tonight, we've got a real surprise for Bob. Something Bob has always really wanted. Something I'm sure any man would be glad to find in his Christmas stocking. And here she is, one of Hollywood's most glamorous stars, currently seen in Paramount's Bahama Passage, Miss Madeline Carroll.
Goodness, but you're big, aren't you?
Yes, I am rather tall and muscular.
I like big, strong men like you. I think that...
Pardon me, Madeline. Madeline, honey.
Quiet, shorty.
You know, I could go for you, Miss Carroll.
Oh, Ben, call me mad.
Call me mad, too.
You know, that was a lovely speech you made, Ben, when you introduced me before. Would you like to find me in your Christmas stocking?
Look at that size of that foot. He could get the Andrews sisters in there. Their agent.
Oh, what are you burning up about, Bob? I bet you're going to use this as an excuse to give me some crummy little present this year.
As far as you're concerned, Gage, this Christmas you can call me Jim.
As I was saying, Madeline, I could go for you. There's something about you, a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yes, and you have that sang-froid, that air so comme il faut. Vous êtes un vrai gentleman.
Vous êtes un fan fatal.
Et vous êtes très intéressant.
Where does an alien go to register?
Oh, pay no attention to him, Ben. Tell me, how did you get that lovely wave in your hair?
Why, Maddie, that wave is perfectly natural.
Natural, he says. He stays up all night running a hot egg beater through it.
Now, Madeline, on behalf of the entire cast, I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent program.
Well, Ben, it's a great pleasure for me to be here.
And, Madeline, I know there's only one person on this program you really want to meet.
Hurry up. Get to the point, will you, boy?
The most sought-after man in Hollywood. Women swoon at the sight of him. That romantic Romeo, that handsome brute.
If this is me, let's not be ridiculous.
Hollywood's great lover, Skinny Ennis.
Ben, you've had your joke. You can go now.
Madeline, do you want me to leave?
Ben, stop passing the buck.
It's my salary, and I'll do whatever I want with it.
You better shut up, Redwood. You know, Madeline, Ben's working for the government now.
He's working for the government?
Yeah, he stands on top of Lookout Mountain with a fly swatter in each hand and knocks Japanese planes out of the sky.
Are you doing anything for defense?
Oh, sure. I'm a fire warden.
Oh, what are your duties?
Well, I see that the marshmallows don't get too hot. Gage, what are you still hanging around for?
Oh, every time a girl comes on this program, I have to beat it. Well, I ain't tonight, see? I'm going to talk to Madeline as long as I want, and you ain't going to stop me.
Why, Bob, what happened to Ben?
Last week, he read the Bill of Rights. Come on now, Ben, scram.
Bob, you're being unfair. After all, the gang and I got Madeline down here as a Christmas present to you.
Oh, you did? Have you arranged for Madeline's salary, too?
Sure. We're all going to chip in as soon as you pay us.
I guess I'll have to dream the rest.
You'll get paid, Madeline, and being that you're English, your salary for tonight will be £1,000.
£1,000? No, Bob, I couldn't take it.
Gee, that's a shame. And after I had all the Pepsodent weighed out, too.
Ben mentioned Skinny Ennis before. I don't see him around. Where is he?
Oh, the government asked us to keep Skinny hidden. They're afraid he might give the Japs confidence. You know, Madeline, Skinny's very war conscious. I know he's too modest to admit this, but yesterday he wanted to do his bit, so he volunteered as a blood donor. Yesterday he went to the hospital to give a pint of his blood.
How thrilling. What happened?
They gave him a quart. I'll call him. Hey, Skin.
Yeah, Bob.
Skinny, this is Madeline Carroll.
Madeline,
he was cute while he lasted.
Oh, come on, get up and go away, Skinny. Madeline doesn't want to be bothered with you.
Is that so? Listen here, son. You may not realize it, but you're talking to Romeo Innes, the Cucamonga Casanova. Hey, Madeline, come in.
Yes, sir?
Throw your arms around me and hold me tight and hug me, gal. Come in.
Yes, sir. Well, go on.
What a time for my wheaties to give out. Well, I'll see you later.
Optimist. Well, Madeline. Well, Madeline, here we are alone.
Yes, Bob. We're alone.
Yep. Well, you want to shoot some pool? Oh, by the way, Maddie, I meant to ask you, how'd you like the Christmas present I sent you?
Well, the gift you sent me puzzled me, Bob. I had some friends over at the house when I opened it, and they were puzzled by it, too.
Why, Madeline, that was a picture of me.
Hmm? And all night long we kept playing, trying to pin the tail on it. Seriously, Bob, I think you're quite handsome, and I love working with you in our new picture.
Oh, do you mean it, Maddie?
Certainly. I'm very happy with you as my leading man. Gosh, I made pictures with Gary Cooper, Brian Ahern, Robert Preston, and Fred McMurray. But sometimes a girl gets tired of appearing with actors.
Wait a minute, Madeline. Now, people have told me that I'm an actor of the first water.
Bob, in Hollywood, that's just a polite way of saying you're a drip. Oh, but I really do like working with you. Yeah, I remember the first day on the set when we were introduced. You became so red and confused.
Well, I'm still a child at heart. Sometimes I wish I was living the simple life once again, enjoying the simple pleasures like killing grasshoppers with a loaded yo-yo. Say, how about having dinner with me tonight, Maddie?
Well, I'd like to, Bob, but I'm hungry.
Listen, Maddie, I don't have to beg you for dates. I've already got a heavy date for tonight. You know Hedy Lamarr?
Hedy? Certainly. We're going to Ciro's together tonight.
Oh. Well, do you know Lana Turner?
Lana, of course. She's in our party at Ciro's, too.
Oh. Well, on your way to Ciro's with Hedy and Lana, if you should pass McDonald's Drive and you'll find me there with Mae Robeson. Thank you, Madeline. And she'll be back with us in a few minutes, folks. And here back again, we have Vitamin D1 with legs. Miss Betty Hudson. Say it back.
There was Jumpin' Jack playing piggyback with the Big Bear family, and the Popeye's clown popping up and down at the Toy Town Jamboree. Little crying doll didn't cry at all, but she danced so merrily with her pride and joy, little soldier boy at the Toy Town Jamboree.
She's sleepy. That was Betty Hutton and our six hits and a miss singing Toyland Jamboree. Larry, into the office.
Hello, all you boys and girls. This is good old Santa Claus speaking to you from the North Pole. I've just received a letter from Bob Hope telling me what he wants for Christmas. How do you like that? Madeline Carroll is paying him a visit, and he wants electric trains. Now, let's see what else his letter says. But anyway, Santa, don't forget to bring me lots of presents. When you get to Hollywood, you can't miss my house because my initials are all... My real name is Filbert H. Albert, so look for the letters F-H-A. I'm throwing a big party for Madeline Carroll, so don't be late. Oh, I better hurry. I'll start up my reindeer. Up, Dancer. Up, Prancer. Up, Phil Murray. Up, William Green. Up, John L. Lewis. All pull together now. We're off for Bob Hope's Christmas party.
Say, Maddie, don't you think it was swell of me to invite the whole gang over to my house for a Christmas party this year?
Yes, Bob. And I think 35 cents is very reasonable.
Madeline, come over here and sit down, huh?
Bob, I don't like that smile on your face. You've got that come-hither look in your nose.
Oh, Madeline, why do you avoid me like this? Am I perchance unattractive?
Of course not, Bob. Why, I think you're one of the handsomest men in Hollywood.
What makes you say that? My eyes, my lips, or my profile?
My script.
Oh, all right.
right, then. Let's finish decorating the house for the party. I'll turn on all the lights in the tree. Now, Maddie, here, you hold these wires.
Oh, Bobby, careful now.
Oh, I know all about electricity. I once went to an electrical school. Of course, I never got a diploma.
Hello, is Hope there?
Speaking.
Glad to meet you speaking. Is Hope there?
This is him.
Him? What happened to Speaking?
Listen, Colonna, this is Hope speaking.
Oh, Hope speaking. I knew your brother, the baseball player, Tris speaking.
Look, Professor, this is Bob Hope.
Oh, say, Hope, are you in your living room all alone with Madeline Cattle?
That's right.
Are the lights low and is Madeline sitting close to you?
That's right.
And you, like a dope, waste your time on the telephone.
Listen, Professor, I sent you out to buy Christmas presents.
Say, Hope, would a $1,000 defense bond be a nice present to give somebody?
Oh, a $1,000 defense bond would be wonderful.
Well, meet me down here with a fishing pole and a long line.
Well, where are you, Colonna?
On the roof of the Bank of America.
Colonna, only a moron would say the things you say.
Ah, yes, and only an idiot would pay me for saying them.
Bob, look, I think I see some of your guests arriving.
Yeah.
Hiya, people.
Yeah. Hiya, Skin.
Hey, hello, Bob. Look who I brought with me. Betty Hutton. Boy, what a walk we had getting there. Now, put me down, Betty.
Well, come on in, everybody. Welcome to my party. Open house. Step inside here. Come on. Skinny, you put a slug in the turnstile.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Come on, everyone. Why don't we all come in here by the Christmas tree? Isn't it beautiful?
No. Down south where I come from, my folks used to have a much prettier Christmas tree every year. Man, it was beautiful.
Beautiful?
Yep. Confederate money for tinsel and a Yankee hanging from every branch.
Hey, wonderful, Madeline.
Yes. Say, Betty, how do you know Skinny loves you?
Well, he's always got a light in his eyes.
Well, what does that prove? I'll get there. It's all right. He's always got a light in his eyes. What does that prove?
It must prove something. He ain't a pinball machine.
Open present.
Are you really in love with him, Daddy?
Yeah, you know, there's something strong and manly about Skinny. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the way he gulps his adrenaline.
Hello?
Hello, is this Old Faithful?
Colonna, Old Faithful is a giant geyser.
I know, and you're a pretty big squirt yourself, too.
Listen, you idiot, I sent you out to do some Christmas shopping for me. Now tell me, what did you get for my little niece, Sheila?
Well, Hope, I couldn't get a talking doll for your little niece, Sheila, so I just got her a beautiful electric razor instead. I'm watching her play with it now.
Sheila! Sheila, put that electric razor down. Sheila, Sheila!
Just call her Baldy.
Everybody, how's the party going?
Well, Francis Langford, you come alone, Francis? Come on, dance with me.
No, I came with Ben Gates. He won't let me dance with anybody else. He's outside parking the car. Well, shall we rumble?
Well, come on, everybody. It's time to give out the Christmas presents. Francis, here's your present. This one here. Go on, unwrap it. Now open it.
Bob, what a beautiful box.
Ain't it useful? You can put anything you want in it.
By the way, Skinny, I meant to ask you, just what did Bob give you for Christmas?
Oh, he was very generous with me this year. He gave me 2 tickets to the Rose Bowl game.
He was very generous with me, too. He gave me a season pass. He gave you a season pass to Santa Anita.
Why don't we eat our plum pudding later, huh? Danny, you know what Santa Anita is. That's that big pinball machine that the government just tilted. I got that out.
By the way, Madeline, did Bob give you a Christmas present?
Oh, yes. Bob gave me a wonderful present. He gave me a check for $5,000 drawn on the First National Bank of Tokyo.
I can't help it. I have a yen for it.
Get those bells. Hey, Bob, look. Bob. Isn't that Santa Claus and his sleigh passing over the roof of your house?
Well, if it isn't, some woman driver is way off the road.
Look, here comes Santa Claus down the chimney.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, thanks, Santa, and I think we ought to pass that greeting along to all our friends listening in tonight. So from the entire cast and myself, We wish you a very Merry Christmas, folks. All you people that have written in those nice cards and those letters, we haven't got all your names and addresses, so we can't send you all a Christmas card. But if we could, this would be the card we'd send. All right, Francis.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly
peace. That's everybody saying, huh?
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Earn your associate's degree in applied sciences with Henry Ford College's Automotive Technology program. This program offers an in-depth study of multiple systems found in today's vehicles. HFC's Automotive Technology program is fully certified by the National Institute for Automotive Technology program by the ASE Educational Foundation. For more information on this or any other area of study, visit hfcc.edu today.
If you're looking to hear something new, join us Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m. for This Just In, WHFR's one-hour pre-recorded new music showcase. Every week, we'll feature a whole hour of music that we've recently received here at WHFR. You'll hear a wide variety of musical formats, including indie rock, electronic, world, jazz, blues, hip-hop, hard rock, soundtracks, and more. This Just In, our new music showcase, airs weekly on Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m., only on WHFR.fm, the station making waves.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
The Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products, presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Kraft brings you The Great Gildersleeve every week at this time. Written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. Music by Claude Sweeten. Gildersleeve in just a moment. Gildersleeve at this merry Christmas tide. Well, not so merry. While all the rest of Summerfield is giddy with good feeling and holiday cheer, over the Gildersleeve household hangs a pall. The threat of a lawsuit, a suit for breach of promise by a lady he once admired, prosecuted by a friend he trusted. Oh, the infamy of woman, the ingratitude of man. So heavily do they weigh upon him that he's been unable to give a single thought to Christmas, which is only 2 days off. This CERN to Leroy.
What do you think he's planning to do, Marge? Just skip Christmas this year? He wouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Eat your breakfast, Leroy.
Gosh, 2 days before Christmas and we haven't even got a tree. You don't think he's been buying a lot of stuff on the sly and hiding it someplace? Nah, I know all the hiding places.
Who wants Christmas anyway? It won't be any fun.
Gosh, you're as bad as he is, Miss Gloomy Puss.
Well, if you ever worried about anybody besides yourself, you'd be worried, too.
What good is it going to do to worry? She's going to sue him, she's going to sue him.
Leroy, here comes your uncle. Now, let's all see if we can't cheer him up.
Yes, let's. Don't do anything to annoy him, Leroy.
Me annoy him? Are you kidding? Yep, as I was saying, it's only 2 days till Christmas now, Marge. Only 2 days till Christmas. Oh, hi, Unc.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Unky, darling.
Mr. Gilsleeve, what would you like for breakfast? I'll fix you anything you like. We're in a position to offer fried eggs, boiled eggs, scrambled eggs, poached eggs, shirred eggs. What would you like?
It better be eggs.
I also got oatmeal.
Well, it doesn't matter, Bertie. Anything. A few prunes, maybe.
Prunes? Is it like that?
Yeah. Prunes and a little tea and toast. Things aren't sitting too well with me these days, Bertie.
Poor Mr. Gilsleeve.
Unky, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't mind me.
Well, only 2 days till Christmas, hey, Unc
Leroy?
I'm over everybody. I wonder what I'll be getting this year.
Christmas. Well, I suppose it's time I was doing something about it. Only somehow I can't seem to get up any enthusiasm.
Oh, don't let's bother about Christmas this year, Uncle Mort. We know how you feel.
Well, you're a very sweet girl, my dear, and very understanding.
Me too. I'm not asking for anything special this year. Anything at all will be okay. Any little thing. Anything.
Front door.
I'll go. It might be a package.
You sit down. It might not.
I'm coming. Oh, good morning, Judge.
Is Mr. Gildersleeve in, Bertie?
Well, just a minute. I'll ask him.
Judge Hooker, how can he have the nerve to come over here?
Now, my dear.
Mr. Gilsleeve, it's the judge out there. Shall I tell him you ain't in?
No, Bertie, I might as well face it. I guess this is it. At least when this is over, we'll know the worst. Show the judge into my study, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
No, wait a minute.
Yes?
First, I think you children better run upstairs, out of the way.
I won't say anything, Unc.
Well, I will. If I see that Judge Hooker, I'll tell him exactly what I think of him.
I'll handle the judge, my dear. I think you better run along upstairs. You too, Leroy. This may be a little unpleasant. Now, Judge.
Gildy, I suppose you think it a little strange of me coming over here like this.
Nothing you could do would surprise me anymore. Nothing. And before you do it, I want to say this. You got me into all this.
I know.
You came over here and asked me to help you propose to that girl.
I know.
You gave me a lot of talk about how a friend should help a friend, how John Alden helped Miles Standish with Priscilla.
I know.
Well, let me ask you this. Did Priscilla turn around and sue John Alden? Did she? And did Standish help her?
Well, I'm afraid the sad fact is, Gildy, that our little friend Dolores is no Priscilla.
And you're no Miles Standish. Well, let her sue. Go ahead. Draw up the papers. Hire the witnesses. Bribe the jury. I don't care. She can't hang anything on me. Can she?
Gildy, believe me, this whole episode has been most distasteful to me.
Sure. This hurts you more than it does me. Baloney, you'd sue your own grandmother.
Oh, Gildy, I'm your friend, remember? All these years? Why, we played golf together.
Never mind the crocodile tears.
I mean it. Why, I cut off my right arm.
You're left-handed.
Well, I cut off both arms before I'd accept a case against my old friend.
Oh, sure. Say that again, Judge. You didn't take the case? You turned her down?
Well, Gildy, she has no case.
Oh, what do you know? No case. Woman's got no case. This isn't a trick, Judge. This isn't a booby trap.
Oh, Gildy, how can you say that?
You sure she's got no case?
You think I'd have turned it down if she had?
Horace, you're a friend. I want to take this opportunity of wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Throckmorton.
By George, it is a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Horace.
Merry Christmas, Gilda.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year.
Look, what's happened?
Merry Christmas, my boy.
Well, you woke up just in time.
What do you mean?
Christmas is only 2 days off, and the stores are closed on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness, and I haven't done a thing about it.
Uncle Mort, where are you going?
Leroy, me lad, bring me reindeer.
Will there be anything else, sir?
Isn't that cute? A regular little train.
Will there be anything else?
Well, let me see. We got the magic set, the wood-burning set, and the bomb sight, and the... Careful with that pop gun, Sonny.
That will be all there?
Let me think. Have I got enough for Marjorie? That Marjorie's my niece. Say, I'd like to show you something I bought her. I'd like to get your opinion. Do you mind?
Oh, not at all. Oh, there's a lady calling you.
Huh? Who? Showing this young lady here what I bought for Marjorie. This sweater.
Oh, it's adorable.
Pink. It's got buttons, too. You can wear them up the front or up the back, the girl said.
Oh, she'll love it.
Well, I'll be right back with your parcel, sir.
Huh? Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's so nice to see you again, Throckmorton. I could swear you've been hiding.
Well, I'm... I'm back in circulation again, Leela. And by George, Leela, I've never seen you looking better.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir. Christmas has put color in your cheeks or something. And sparkle in your eyes.
Oh, I love Christmas, don't you?
It's the greatest day in the year, bar none. Say, how about coming over to my house tomorrow night, Christmas Eve? We'll celebrate. Just the family. You know, popcorn, candied apples and stuff. And I'm getting in a whole ton of mistletoe.
Why, Throckmorton, whatever for?
George, if there's any of it around here, I'd show you what for.
Throckmorton.
Here are your parcels, sir.
Oh, thanks, miss. Well, gotta be going. Million things to do. Don't forget tomorrow night, Leela. Come early. We'll have more fun and more down mistletoe. Greetings, Floyd. Greetings of the season.
Well, if it ain't Father Christmas. Hiya, Commissioner. Come right in.
I can't stay, Floyd. I'm in the midst of my Christmas shopping.
Yeah, well, I ain't even got around to mine. Keep putting it off, you know what I mean? Got nobody to take care of but the wife, anyway.
Well, Christmas comes once a year, Floyd. I think we ought to make
it... Oh, not that I'm complaining, you understand. She's okay, Ruthie is. Just got her little ways, that's all. Now, you take like last year. I was sore about something. I forget what. So I wasn't going to get her nothing. Well, sir, the day before Christmas, didn't a Salvation Army band have to set up in front of the shop here and play hymns all afternoon? On the way home that night, I laid out $11 for an electric iron. Of course, the next day, I could have kicked myself. But that's the trouble with me. I'm soft-hearted.
Floyd, the only trouble with you is you're human. I wouldn't be ashamed of it. By the way, if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, I'd like to have you drop over to my house. You know, say Merry Christmas, just the family.
Well, thanks, Commissioner. I'd like to do that.
Glad to be on my way now. Don't forget your wife, Floyd. Get her something nice. You know, women are sentimental about Christmas.
Well, I guess I'm kind of sentimental myself. Like this morning now. She got up before I did and cooked me a nice big breakfast of kippered herrings. You know, on the way down to the shop, I had half a notion to stop in somewheres and buy her a bottle of perfume. I might do it yet.
I think she'd like that, Floyd.
Yeah, might even buy one of them sets, you know, where they got the perfume and the bath powder and the... Oh, there I go again. Just a sucker for kippers. Well, so long, Commissioner.
Yeah, so long, Floyd. Hey, Peavy, what are you doing Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve? Well, Mrs. Peavy and I usually just spend Christmas Eve together, you know. Sort of a family custom.
Well, I don't want to upset any family customs, Peavy. I just thought if you weren't doing anything...
Well, we don't do anything, really. We just sit there and listen to the radio. We like to hear the Christmas programs, and we usually go through our Christmas cards together. You know, all the friends who've been kind enough to remember us. People we haven't seen for a long time, a lot of them. And Mrs. Peavy has a little drink she makes. Mulled cider. Very good. That's about all we do. Not very exciting, but it's kind of nice. And on about 10 o'clock, we just hang up our stockings and go to bed.
Peavy, you still hang up your stockings?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but who fills them?
Mr. Gildersleeve, who do you think fills them?
Peavy, you're not going to tell me you hear jingle bells in the night.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. No. No, I wait until after Mrs. Peavy's asleep, and then I sneak downstairs and fill her stocking myself. And she gets up before I'm awake in the morning and fills mine. Just a little game we play.
Bye, George Peavy. I'll bet you have more fun than anybody.
Well, now, I don't know. Maybe I do.
Well, try to come around to the house if you can, Peavy. We'll be glad to see you.
American Express.
There they go.
Oh, my goodness, all them packages.
Well, I got them home anyway.
I'll pick them up. Mr. Gildersleeve, it sure looks like Christmas around here all of a sudden.
Quiet, Bertie. I don't want the children to hear. That's why I came around to the kitchen door.
Yes, sir. I won't tell.
Well, I think I got everything. If I didn't, it's just too bad.
Sure looks like you got plenty.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, my goodness, why didn't I remember? Of all things, why did I have to forget that?
Forget what?
Oh, that spoils everything. What good is Christmas without a turkey?
No turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No turkey. I clean forgot it, Bertie. That was the last thing I said to myself. Get a turkey. Darn it.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Gildersleeve, tell you what you do.
There's nothing we can do, Bertie. The stores are closed. It's too late.
You go look in the icebox.
What? In the icebox?
Uh-huh.
Bertie, how long has he been laying there?
Oh, for a couple of days. I had him sent over on approval. How's that for a turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Bertie, that's not a turkey. That's a B-29. And when you get that Bombay stuffed with chestnut dressing, oh, brother, Merry Christmas.
Will be with us again in just a few seconds. Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. It's Christmas Eve at last in Summerfield, and it couldn't be a prettier one. There's a beautiful, clean blanket of snow covering the streets and sidewalks and yards and roofs, and a few flakes still drifting down in the twilight. And in Gildersleeve's house, the family has just finished decorating the Christmas tree, and they've hung their stockings by the fireplace. A neat black sock for Gildersleeve, a pale rayon stocking for Marjorie, and a huge laundry bag of a golf stocking that Leroy had borrowed for the occasion.
Well, well, well. Looks Christmassy, doesn't it?
Oh, it's sweet. The tree always smells so good, too.
Yeah. Could I eat one of the candy canes, Uncle?
You know the rule, my boy. No nibbling on candy canes till after breakfast Christmas morning. Start eating them now, we'll have no decorations left.
Well, I could just take a little bite off one at the back. Who'd notice?
Let's stick to our rules, shall we?
Okay. We got gingerbread for supper anyway.
Great. Bye, George. You can't beat Christmas. The old Christmas spirit. You can feel it in the air.
Oh, I felt it all afternoon. It does something to people.
Certainly does. Happy little family. Stockings all hung by the chimney with care. Bye, George. Let's read that. What do you say?
Oh, that's kid stuff.
That's right. I feel like a kid on Christmas Eve. Is the book still over here with the fairy tale?
That's where it belongs.
Now, Lee. Be nice. If Uncle Mort wants to read it, let's not spoil it for him.
Oh, for corn's sake, he reads it every year.
Never mind. Shut up and be nice.
Okay, I can be just as nice as you.
Ah, here it is. Same old book, same old pictures. Fellow wearing a nightcap. That shows how old this book is. Now, sit down, Leroy. Marjorie. Just about got time to read this before supper. All settled?
I'm fine.
Leroy?
Shoot the bunk to me, Unc.
All right, my boy. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stock...
Oh, excuse me, Unc. I just thought of something.
What is it, my boy?
If you couldn't get those skates at Hogan's, there are a pair down at Hoyt's. They're open till 10 o'clock.
Well, I'll make a note of it.
Let's see. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds. That's you and Marjorie, Leroy. While visions of sugar plums danced in their heads.
Sugar plums.
Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap.
That's the nightcap.
Had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. What is it, Bertie?
I forgot to ask you, are you expecting anyone in this evening?
Oh, no, Bertie, just the family.
Yes, sir, I just thought I'd ask.
Now I think of it, I asked Mrs. Ransom to drop over after supper.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and I may have said something to Judge Hooker and Miss Goodwin.
Well, I'm glad I brung it up. I guess it'll be the usual Christmas Eve.
Christmas comes but once a year, Bertie. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh, yes. Out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. By George, that's real poetry. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. That's Santa Claus, children.
Of course. Who doesn't know that?
More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen. To the top of the...
Oh, the phone. I'll get it. Hello? Oh, just a minute. It's Piggy, Leroy.
Tell him I can't talk to him now. I'm busy.
Go ahead, Unc. He'll call you back, Piggy. All right, Uncle Mort.
Let's see. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall.
Now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
Yeah, that's right. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. Uh-oh, there's a page been lost here.
That's okay. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound.
Well.
A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack.
His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry.
His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow,
and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of his pipe...
That's the next page. The stump of his pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke had encircled his head like a wreath. He had a droll face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
Just like you, huh?
You think so?
Look, Marge, see it shake?
No more than anybody else's.
Yeah, thank you, my dear. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose.
Welcome,
Be there in a second, Bertie. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle,
and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
But I heard him explain ere he rode out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Well, by George, that's a great book. None better.
Oh, I love it.
What do you say, Leroy?
Well, great for kids.
Well, come on, kids. Let's eat. Let's all go, my boy. United we stand. Come on, Margie.
I'm coming.
How late can we stay up, Unc?
As long as you're good, Leroy. Or till 9 o'clock, whichever is sooner.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Come on in, Leela.
Well, I'd better leave my galoshes here on the porch. They're pretty snowy.
You want me to hold those packages, Mrs. Ransom?
Well, now, that's very thoughtful of you, Leroy. But no peeking now, you hear? One of those is for you.
For me? Gee, thanks.
No shaking it either, Leroy.
Okay.
Come on in, Leela.
Thank you. Now, this package is for you, Marjorie.
Oh, thank you.
And this one's yours, Leroy.
That's what I figured.
And the other one is for you, Throckmorton.
Why, Leela, for me? Mm-hmm. Thank you. I got something for you, too, Leela. Come here.
Well, I can take it later.
Put these packages under the tree, children. I want to show Mrs. Ransom something.
Okay. Come on, Marjorie. Let's put them in pile.
Be careful with mine.
Right here, Leela.
Why?
Look up.
Up?
Oh, Sprout. You devil. You put it in a different place from last year.
Yes. Leela, I've got it everywhere. There isn't a spot in the whole house where you'll be safe.
Throckmorton, you are simply terrible.
Hey, what's going on here?
Come over here and I'll show you, Leroy, dear.
Oh, no, you don't. You've got 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. Shall I get the cider and donuts, Uncle?
I think it's a little early. You just finished stuffing in that last piece of gingerbread not 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
Here, take Mrs. Ransom's coat and hang it up.
You'll soon have a crowd.
The more the merrier.
I'll answer it, Uncle Mark.
No, no, all of us. United we stand. Come on, Leela.
Come on, Leroy.
Here I come.
When I open the door, we'll all say Merry Christmas all together. Ready?
Merry Christmas!
My goodness gracious.
Come on in, Peavy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I can't stay. Oh, good evening, Mr. Ransom.
Oh, do come in for a minute, Mr. Peavy. You ought to see the tree anyway.
No, just for a moment. Little Christmas remembrance for your family, Mr. Gildersleeve. Box of chocolates, my best grade.
Well, that's fine, Peavy, but you shouldn't have told us. No surprise.
Yeah, pretty hard to fool anybody with chocolate.
Let's open them. What do you say, Unc? As long as we know what they are.
Leroy, you amaze me. You must be 90% stomach.
Look who's talking.
Leroy.
Well, how about the chocolates? They're not getting any better in the box, are they, Mr. Peavy?
Leroy, if you don't mind.
Mr. Peavy's pretty cagey. Go ahead and open them, Leroy, but only one piece for you, understand?
Okay, Uncle. Hey, Mark, we can each have one.
Look here a minute, Mr. Peavy, won't you?
What is it, the tree?
Something even nicer. Look.
Well, I...
Merry Christmas.
Yes, and a Happy New Year.
Leela, you ought to be ashamed of yourself brazenly kissing a married man.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Able to defend myself, Mr. Gildersleeve.
That's the spirit, Peavy.
I noticed he offered very little resistance.
Well, my gracious, I don't know what to say.
There's somebody else, Uncle.
Come on, Leroy. Marge, we united, we stand. Peavy, just like we did for you. Now, all together when I open the door.
Merry Christmas!
Well, we're doing that to everybody, Eve. Come on in.
Well, this is wonderful. Hello, Mrs. Ransom, Mr. Peavy.
It's awfully nice to see you, Miss Goodwin.
Compliments of the season, Miss Goodwin.
Thank you. Hello, Leroy, Marjorie.
Hi, let me hang up your coat.
Thank you.
Now, into the parlor, everybody, and we'll have some fun.
Oh, really, Mr. Gildersleeve, I've got to be running
I know, Peavy, but you can at least see the tree. Go on, look at it. Come here a minute, Eve.
What is it? I haven't... Oh, Throckmorton, I might have known.
Yeah.
I thought the fun was going to be in here.
Oh, she sees everything.
Come on, Throckmorton, let's join the others. I've got little presents for the children, but I thought I could bring them over tomorrow.
Anytime.
It's pretty nice having vacation for a change, isn't it, Miss Goodwin?
Oh, are you enjoying it too, Leroy?
Are you kidding? It must be kind of nice to be a school teacher, though, sometimes, just like having a lot of children.
It is nice.
You know, I wish Mrs. Peavy could have come over with me. This is the kind of Christmas we miss, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Why don't you go get her, Peavy?
No, I don't think so. Maybe next year.
Oh, we'd love to have her. Maybe we... Hey, what's that?
Somebody singing outside.
Oh, look, it's the Jolly Boys.
Oh, they sure need us, Peavy. Oh, brother.
Great! Merry Christmas, Jolly Boys!
Merry Christmas!
Yeah, come on in, fellas. Hey, you're in great voice tonight, Judge. Well, gee, nice to have a friendly visit from the police.
Well, thanks, Commissioner.
Come on in, Floyd, letting in the cold.
Come on, Floyd, don't stand out there.
Hey, fellas. Hey, mistletoe.
Huh?
Oh, look, there's some more over there and in the corner. Commissioner, you got enough mistletoe here to start a first-class brawl.
Now, let me catch you kissing my girl now, Floyd.
Okay, which one is yours?
Whichever one I catch you kissing.
Fine, pal.
Well, who's going to play the piano for the next carol?
I'll play if you want me to.
Oh, that'll be fine, lady.
Oh, Chief, this is Miss Goodwin. Chief Gates of the Summerfield Police.
Pleased to meet
you,
ma'am.
How do you do?
There's that cider you're talking about, Gilday.
It's in the dining room, but let's sing one carol first. Which will it be?
How about Joy to the World?
Yeah.
Joy to the World's a
tip, and besides, I can sing alto.
Oh, I like that one. I'll just sing the air.
Good enough. Joy to the world, boys. Hey, you got it there, Eve?
Yes, here, here.
Come on, Marjorie. Hey, you get in on this too, Bertie. By George, there's nothing like Christmas.
Joy to the world.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone in the world could join in and sing with us?
What are you talking about, Commissioner?
Well, I know we can't really do it. Not tonight, anyway. See how happy we all are here singing together. And then you think of all the people who can't get together this Christmas. Well, the only excuse for the kind of suffering that's going on all over the world is if we can make sure it never happens again. What I'm trying to say is, let's all sing anyway. You people in Massachusetts, Virginia, Idaho, Iowa, Colorado, California, and everywhere in army camps and on ships at sea. Let's sing the way we used to when we were at home together. Let's hope that before so very long, all the peoples of the world will be able to join in with us.
At the end, he says, I guess that's it. Well, you are listening to Henry Ford Radio at 89.3. We are WHFR Dearborn. This is Radio Vault. We just heard the Greg Gildersleeve Christmas Eve show from 1944. Ahead of that was Bob Hope from 1941. Well, up and coming next, we are going to listen to one of the Jack Benny Christmas shopping episodes from 1944. Original broadcast date on this one is December 22nd of 40. That's next, and this is Radio Vault on WHFR.
Detroit, West Side, suburbs downriver. Tune in locally to 89.3, the station making waves.
Join me, Sean Daniel, Monday, 9 to 11 p.m. with Beats to the Rhymes, the only radio show where we focus on beats and lyrics, Detroit music, and underground hip-hop. Listen worldwide online at WHFR.FM, Dearborn, Detroit.
Many postmenopausal women like me have osteoporosis. There is no cure, but simple changes in our lives can keep us on the path to healthier bones. Osteoporosis can weaken your bones and slowly rob you of your independence. A daily exercise routine, along with a diet rich in calcium and vitamin D, can make a huge difference in your bone health. Taking care of your bones is necessary for healthy aging and lifelong independence. Learn how to start your own path to good bone health. Get bone health tips at pathtogoodbonehealth.org.
The Jell-O program, coming to you from the Ritz Theater in New York City, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Tookie. Was Tookie, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there being just two more shopping days till Christmas, we bring you that fugitive from Gimble's basement, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, speaking of Gimble's basement, I never saw so many women shopping in my life. I got shoved around like a blintzer in Lindy's. Boy, what a mob.
Pretty hectic, huh?
Hectic. You know, Don, I can understand my derby getting caved in, my muffler torn, and the sleeve of my coat ripped off. But how I lost my pivot tooth, I'll never know. That was really an experience.
Oh, I can just imagine what you must have gone through.
You know, a funny thing about women, Don, all year long, they're so helpless. You have to open the door for them. They can't light their own cigarettes. They cling to your arm as you walk down the street. They're as delicate as butterflies. And then, about 2 weeks before Christmas, a mad glint comes into their eye. And with an umbrella for gouging and a handbag for slugging, off they go. Come on, girls, let's mangle the mail. That's their battle cry.
Well, Jack, women are a little excitable when they're shopping around Christmas time, but I don't think they're as tough as you say.
Oh, you don't, eh? Don, I was in Macy's yesterday afternoon, and a little gray-haired lady, couldn't have been over 5 feet tall, put down her cane and yanked a washing machine right out of my arm. I tried to get it back, and she kicked my hat off. Imagine.
My goodness, Jack, you don't mean to say that a little old lady took a big washing machine away from you.
Don, I wouldn't have minded that so much, but it was a demonstrator. I'll probably never get my laundry back. That is my own fault, I guess, for waiting so long to shop. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Doll.
Doll? Well, look who's so affectionate around Christmas. You're certainly giving out with that soft soap.
Oh, no, I'm not, Jack.
You're not, eh? Then why did you call me Doll?
Because your hair is glued on.
All right, young lady, that did it. There goes that mink coat I was going to buy you for a present.
You were going to buy me a mink coat?
Yes, I were. Or was. I was going to buy you a mink coat.
I bet it were, or was, from Rabbit.
Oh, no, it wasn't. You've lost a very beautiful gift. And you know the kind I hand out.
Go on, you wouldn't buy Hedy Lamarr a Coca-Cola.
For Christmas? What are you talking about? Let me tell you something, Mary. A girl like Hedy Lamarr could make a playboy out of me. I'd buy her quarts of bubbling champagne.
You'd buy cider and put an Alka-Seltzer in it.
All right, keep it up. There goes Don's Christmas present, too.
Hey, wait a minute, Jack. I didn't say anything.
Oh, pardon me. I got a little mixed up there.
Watch out, Don. He's laying for you.
No, I wouldn't forget about Don's present. Not after the way he laughed at the premiere last Tuesday night. How'd you like the picture, Don?
Oh, I really enjoyed it, Jack. I got a big kick out of it.
I laugh like anything.
Sorry, Mary. The mink coat is over the dam. Anyway, Don, now that you've seen Love Thy Neighbor, what do you think of Fred Allen in it?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack...
I mean, don't you feel... don't you feel that I get much bigger laughs than he does?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, I think you're very good in the picture and so is Allen. The honors are equally distributed.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Mary. Then, Don, in your fat-headed opinion, you think Allen goes over as good as I do.
Exactly. You both have a lot to do in the picture, you both photograph well, and you both get big laughs.
Well, we both don't pay your salary, so start leaning my way. Imagine saying we photograph equally well.
That's ridiculous. Jack looks much better than Allen.
Why, certainly.
And Allen you can have.
Mary, one more crack out of you and you'll be saying, oh my goodness, I left my baby in the automat for Olson and Johnson. Remember that. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Well, old pal, you got nothing to worry about. I got your Christmas present bought, packed, and ready to hand over.
Oh, so you've been shopping too, eh, Phil?
You said it. All day yesterday. One store after another.
Well, did the women kick you around much?
Yeah, but I got it coming to me.
You said it. You know, Phil, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to buy your present yet. What did you get for me?
I ain't saying. You'll have to wait till Christmas.
Oh, come on, Phil. Tell me.
All right, Jackson, I'll tell you what I bought you. Remember that camel's hair overcoat we saw in the window on Fifth Avenue? The one you were so nuts about?
Yeah?
Well, I got you a box of nuts.
Oh, well, Phil, unless you're kidding... when Mary is in the audience stooging for Olson and Johnson, you'll be in the lobby trying to get out of a straitjacket. Catch on?
The way I've been going the last few nights, a straitjacket wouldn't be bad.
He's not fooling, folks. You know, Phil lives on the 18th floor of the St. Moritz Hotel, and he never uses the elevator. He just goes in and out the window. Now, Phil...
yeah?
It's about a little quicker on the yeah. You know, when I say now, Phil, you come right back. Yeah, there's no laugh when I say now, Phil, you know. Yeah. It's about time for a band number, so let's have it. What are you going to play?
I don't know. This bunch don't speak English.
Oh, fine. Well, don't worry about it, Phil. Just pick up your baton and follow him. Go ahead, kid. Jingle Bells, played by Phil Harris and his Central Park Troubadours. Troubadours meaning they are traveling musicians, and Central Park meaning they ought to get a room tonight. That joke went over better the first show. Shows you we should change for the night show. What a gang you picked up here, Phil, huh?
Well, music is just a sideline with these boys.
I know, and I wish you'd tell the drummer to stop pestering me. I've got all the potato peelers I need. Those guys sell everything from razor blades to mink coats.
Ha-ha!
What are you all hoeing about? Fink, the fiddle player, has wonderful mink. I saw him.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis.
Boy, am I a wreck. Women, women, nothing but women.
Oh, have you? Have you been shopping, too?
No, I just came from Roseland.
Oh, 10 cents a dance, eh?
Yeah, I cleaned up.
Say, Dennis, I hear that you and Kenny Baker have been stepping out and seeing the town together. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know what, Mr. Benny?
What?
The other night, I made him pay for everything. I stuck him for $2.45.
You did? Well, now, Dennis, that's not very nice. If Kenny is kind enough to show you a good time, the least you can do is go 50-50. Or better still, pay all the expenses yourself. It's all right to save money, Dennis, but there's nothing like being a good sport. What's that for, Miss Livingston?
Everybody else knows.
You see, Dennis, there's only one way to be popular. When you're out with a fella and he reaches for the check, you take it first. And if he should pick it up, you grab it right out of his hand. Grab it.
I can't stand this.
Mary, come back here.
Okay.
What's the matter with you? Dennis is just a kid, and while he's still young, he's got to be taught how to conduct himself in public and not be a cheapskate.
I don't understand you, Mr. Benny.
No, you don't? I don't understand you, Mr. Benny. I don't understand. Well, look, Dennis, I'll explain it to you. Dennis, we'll go out for a bite to eat after the broadcast, and I'll show you what I mean. I'll pick up the check, and you take it away from me. See? Then I'll take it away from you, and then you take it away from me.
Then what?
That's all, Bob.
Mary, I warned you. Cut it out, kid.
Say, Jackson.
Yes, Phil?
My band number's over, and I still got a lot of Christmas shopping to do. Do you mind if I run along?
Why, no, Phil. In fact, I think I'll go with you. There are a lot of things I got to get myself. Don, you can take charge of the rest of the program, can't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Don't worry about it, Jack.
Come on with us, Mary. I want you to help me pick out a few things.
Okay, but don't embarrass me.
I won't. You know, there's a swell store near my hotel, the Sherry Netherlands, where I can buy almost... Wait a minute. Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Miss Livingston. This is Rochester.
Oh, boy, are you going to get us. Jack, it's Rochester.
Rochester. Give me that phone. I'll find out right now where he's been for the past 2 weeks. Hello?
Hello, boss. What happened to you? Where you been?
Where have I been? I've been on the phone for the last 10 days trying to reach you. I called every hotspot in Harlem that's got a telephone.
At the hot ones, you can't hear it ring.
Rochester, I don't want any flippancies. I want the truth. Now, we arrived in New York a week ago Thursday.
The 12th, they tell me.
Yes, the 12th. It is now December 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas.
Happy Yuletide, boys.
Never mind that. What I want to know is, what became of the time between December 12th when we got here and December 22nd, which is today?
Well, on Friday the 13th, I was right up to the door of your hotel, ready to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And just as I was about to enter, a black cat ran across my path.
I see. Well, couldn't you walk around the cat?
I did, and wound up at 125th Street.
Oh, well, so much for Friday. Now, what happened on Saturday and Sunday?
Our weekend ended up to Harlem.
Up a Hudson, that
up
is.
Hudson.
Take it again, huh? How did I know when he's on the other side of the telephone? Well, we'll get to Monday. I must be psychic. that we'll get to Monday. After your weekend, Rochester, why didn't you call me at my hotel?
I was so full of sherry, I couldn't think of Netherlands.
Now, don't give me that. Look, Rochester, I haven't any more time to argue with you. Where are you calling from?
What's that, boss?
I said, where are you right now?
Just a minute. What's the address here, sugar?
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
Rochester, who are you talking to?
Susan Brown, the sweetest gal in town.
Oh, yeah, I spoke to her last week and left a message for you. Did you get it?
Just a minute. Honey, did you give me a message from Mr. Benny?
Why, Rochester, you knows I did.
She forgot to give it to me, boy.
Oh, she forgot to give it to you, eh?
Yeah, she's as dizzy as a blonde, but it can't happen here.
I see. Now, Rochester, I want you to go over to my hotel right away. That made up for the one you muffed. I want you to go over to my hotel right away. There's a lot of work to do, and it's got to be done before tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Now, how soon can you get over there?
Just a minute, boss. Say, sugar, I don't think I'll be able to take you to the Savoy Ballroom tonight.
Oh, that's all right, honey. I'll get somebody else.
You better not get somebody else.
I ain't going up there alone, Rochester. I want somebody to snuggle up to.
You get somebody to snuggle up to, and it'll be your last snug.
Rochester.
And I do mean last.
You threaten me, Shorty, and I'll cut them $9 out of your hip pocket.
Rochester, answer me. I want you to come right over to my hotel.
Leaving right away, boss. So long.
Goodbye.
Now, listen, sugar, don't make any date. I'll run over to see Mr. Benny, put on the old personality, and be back here in a half hour.
Rochester, you forgot to hang up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
I heard your conversation.
Don't you believe it.
Get over here. Goodbye. And the same trouble with that guy every time I come to New York. Come on, Mary. Let's go shopping while I'm mad.
Yeah, that'll hold you down.
Let's go, Phil. Right with you, Jackson.
All right, Dennis. Let's have your song.
To certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, King.
a crowd. Stick close to me, Phil. You too, Mary. I don't want you to get lost.
Okay, Papa.
Are you going to take us to see Santa Claus, Daddy? Pipe down, both of you. Got to have some system here. Now, let's see my Christmas list. I got to buy a compact or something for my Aunt Molly. A lawnmower for Dennis. A Mickey for my riders. Let's see. A deck of cards for Simney. Let's see. What else here?
Gee, look at that crowd of women at the bargain counter.
Where? Oh, boy, what a mob.
See you later, Jackson. I'm going over and mingle.
See you later. Gosh, I wish I knew what to get for Aunt Molly. Mary, I wonder if she could use a lipstick.
Has she got lips?
What do you think? She got lips. Here's a counter.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a lipstick, please.
Oh, come now.
Look, it's not for me. I'm buying it for my Aunt Molly.
I see. A lipstick for your Aunt Molly.
That's who it's for. She lives in Chicago on LaSalle Street.
What number?
I don't know the number.
Oh, you don't know the number, and yet you want to send a lipstick to your Aunt Molly.
I'm not going to send it. I'm going to take it to her. I'm going to stop off in Chicago on my way to California.
Oh, I suppose you're the only one that ever went to California.
What are you talking about? I live in California. I got a home there.
Well, I've got a home here, but I don't brag about it.
I wasn't bragging. Now, look, mister, all I want is a lipstick. Am I going to get it or not?
Sorry, I've decided against you. Next case, please.
If guy isn't screwy, then I don't know why. More trouble over a lipstick. Mary, I ought to go over to the grocery department and get Don a case of Jell-O. He'll love it for Christmas.
Why don't you get two cases so you can fill a stocking?
I'll get all the six flavors. That'll do it. And Mary, while we're in the store, I think I'll buy a collar button. I need one.
Yeah, your Adam's apple ain't practical.
It's just an emergency. I lost a button. There's the men's department over there.
Pardon me. Could you tell me where I can buy an evening gown so I should look like Lena Turner?
Miss, that's Lana Turner.
Lana, I'll never make it.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. I'm Jack Benny. I'm not a floor walker.
I saw your picture. Get ready.
She looks like Babe Marx. Come on, Mary. Let's get that collar button. I haven't got much time.
You'd have plenty of time if you stopped flirting with that girl.
Who was flirting? She thought I was a floor walker, didn't she?
Well, you didn't have to roll your big blue eyes at her.
Mary, just because my eyes happen to be large and devil may carry, don't have to accuse me of flirting. Here we are.
Good evening, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like to buy a collar button.
A collar button? Yes, sir. Now, here's a nice one for
$85. $85 for a collar button?
Yes, that includes dress shirt, tie, socks, patent leather shoes, and a double-breasted tuxedo.
Well, that's a good buy, all right, but all I want is a collar button.
Sorry, we never break up a set.
Well, now, that's ridiculous. You know, mister, I've shopped in every city in the United States, but I've never been in a store like this. I tried to buy some lipstick a few minutes ago.
Lipstick? Oh, come now.
It sounds silly, but I had a good reason. And the salesman at that counter insulted me.
Oh, Jack, look.
What is it?
Look who's over there at that counter.
Where?
Right there. Isn't that Kenny Baker buying a camera?
Well, sure enough, it is Kenny. Let's go over and say hello.
Gee, miss, this camera looks swell. I think I'll take it. How much is it?
$3.
$3? Gee, Dennis would like it all right, but haven't you got something for 55 cents?
Well, yes, but I thought you wanted to spend $3.
I do, but he's already hooked me for $2.45.
Oh, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny.
Huh? Oh, well, I'll be doggone. Hello, Jack. How are you, Mary? Gee, I'm glad to see you.
Gosh, Kenny, I haven't seen you in a long time. Gee, you're getting to be a big boy now.
I sure am. You want a cigar, Jack?
Oh, my goodness. Look, Mary, he's got a whole pocket full of cigars.
Yeah, I had them left over from Wilkie.
fine. Same old telly.
How about a little kiss, Mary?
Okay.
Big boy, all right. Cigars and everything, huh?
All right, kids, break it up. Come on.
Wow, he has grown up.
Say, that was a real kiss, huh?
Personally, I'm a wreck.
Well, pull yourself together. Come on with us, Kenny. You can buy your camera later. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
I'll see you later. I got to buy some hose.
All right. So long, Mary. Say, Kenny, how do you like your new job? See, that Fred Allen is pretty tough to work for, isn't he?
No, he's swell. We get along great together.
Oh. But I'll bet you don't have as much fun as you used to have on the old Jell-O show. Gee, you remember all the laughs and good times and everything?
Yeah, but I'm having a wonderful time with Fred.
Huh.
Gee, talk about laughs. Say, he's a riot.
Is that so?
Yeah. And you know what, Jack? Mr. Allen pays me every week.
Does, eh?
Yep.
Pays you every week, huh?
Yeah, none of that see me later kid stuff.
Well, you must have a pretty short memory, Kenny. I used to have that envelope for you every week, too.
Yeah, but with Mr. Allen, I don't have to play treasure hunt.
Oh, well, good clean sport. Never hurt anybody. Say, Kenny.
Yes, please?
Oh, fine. Say, Kenny, I just happened to think of something. Remember the time you first came to work for me and I invited you over to the house for a Thanksgiving party?
Yeah.
I'll never forget how bashful you were. You remember I asked you if you wanted to have some more turkey?
Yeah, and I was so darn nervous I said yes.
Oh, that turkey wasn't so bad.
Have you got much left?
Same old Kenny. Gosh, I'll never forget the time. Kenny, remember when it was Halloween and I didn't know you were in the backyard?
Yeah.
All of a sudden I heard a noise at the window and there you were. Merry Christmas. See you Wednesday, Miss Benny.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And there you have Jack Benny from December 22nd, 1940. That one kind of snuck up on us just a little bit. But we're not done yet. We're just getting started. We have Phil Harris and Alice Faye coming up.
It's the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Christmas to all from Rexall. The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, our special guest Jack Benny, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. The Harris children, like all others, have been on their best behavior for weeks. Let's go back to yesterday, where we find Alice complimenting her children on their good deportment.
Now, you've been particularly good, Baby Alice, and I'm sure Santa Claus will bring you lots of presents tonight.
I hope so, Mommy.
And as for you, honey, you've been just as good as Alice. You've been going to bed early, putting your toys away, and eating all your food. The only thing is, you haven't been drinking all your milk.
Well, I try, but you know how that stuff gags me.
Why, Phil, I'm talking to little Phyllis. Where is she? She was here a minute ago.
She went in the den, Mommy. I'll go get her. Phyllis! Phyllis! Mommy wants you to come and... Phyllis, what are you doing with those crayons?
I'm going to draw a picture on the wall.
Don't do that. You know we gotta be good till tonight.
But I've been good for 3 weeks now. Alice, it's an awful strain.
I know, but it's only a few more hours. Don't crack up now. You've been so good for so long.
I know, but as Daddy always says, it ain't been easy, Clyde.
Alice, have you asked Mommy and Daddy about Santa Claus yet?
No, but I will.
But children, what's going on in here?
Yeah, what are you two doing?
Mommy, Daddy, we want to ask a favor. We'd like to stay up and see Santa Claus when he brings the presents tonight.
All right, honey. Okay. You can stay up and see him. But now you kids run along. Now go ahead and play.
Oh, thanks, Daddy. Gee, I can hardly wait for tonight.
Oh, Phil, why don't you promise the children that? Now, if they don't see Santa, they'll be very disappointed.
But they're going to see him, because I'm going to dress up like Santa and come down the chimney. They won't be able to tell me from the real one.
Daddy!
Yes, dear?
Don't you dress up and make believe you're Santa like last year. Boy, was that corny.
You know something, Alice? I still can't figure out how they knew it was me last year. What did I do that was wrong?
Well, for one thing, you were supposed to come in singing Jingle Bells.
I did.
Yes, I know. But those lyrics, I can still hear them. Ham, hocks, turnip greens, they melt right in your mouth. A candied yams and a hominy grits, and that's what I like about the South. A yam!
And what's wrong with those lyrics?
That isn't the way we sing it up north.
Can I help it if you Yankees don't know the right words? Who ever heard of a Brooklyn ham hock?
Well, we'll have to get somebody else to play Santa.
Well, I can't understand why I can't do it. I should be able to fool little Phyllis. Why can't I outsmart a 5-year-old?
Maybe it's because you have the brain of a 4-year-old.
Well, if it isn't our little feathered friend, Fagel Fay.
Hello, Alice. I just dropped in.
Hey, Willie, maybe you can help us. We're trying to think of who we can get to play Santa Claus for the girls tonight. We want to get someone who looks and sounds like the real thing.
Well, I know just the man.
Who?
Me. I shall be glad to portray Christopher Kringle.
Christopher? Well, Donner, my Blitzen. Santa Claus you'd make.
I'd make an excellent one. I'm quite an actor, you know. Mm-hmm. I can see myself popping out of the chimney, bounding into the living room and saying, ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas to you little kiddies. And what do you, we darlings, desire as a Yuletide memento?
Thank you, Tallulah Bankhead. I'm sorry, Willie, but you're not the right boy.
Well, if you don't want me to help, we won't. I have to run along anyway. I have to meet my girlfriend at the taxidermist's.
I hope they did a good job on her.
Say, Phil, I just thought of a perfect one to play Santa Claus. Don Wilson.
Don Wilson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, old Fatso. Fatso, he'd be swell, wouldn't he?
Don is our man. I'll call him right now and see if he can come over tonight.
Hey, that's swell, honey. Gee whiz, now the kids won't be disappointed. Santa will show up. You know, there's something wonderful about watching a kid on Christmas, waiting for Santa and listening for those jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Ooh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Ooh, what fun it is to ride
in an open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Right o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, they're making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey! Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Alice Faye was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. We got into a thrifted bank, and we got upsot. Jingle bells, jingle bells, singing merrily we go. Jingle bells, white of snow so cold and crisp and light with shine. Jingle all the way through the night. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in an open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is.
Gee whiz, I hope Don can make it. He's going to be terrific as Santa. Uh-oh, that must be Frankie.
Hi, Curly.
Well, if it ain't Francis, the red-nosed reindeer. Come on in, Nose. Come on in. Hey, you look pretty good, Clyde. Yeah, you look fine. Hey, what do you got in all those packages?
Christmas presents. Got some things for the kids and Alice, and here's something for you, Curly.
For me? Oh, you got a present for a little old curly-headed me.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, gee, Frankie. That's sweet of you. I don't know what to say.
It's all right, Curly.
But the thought. You don't know how I appreciated it. Well, it touches me deeply.
You're going to get sloppy about it. I'll take it back. Don't stand there. Open it up. See what it is.
Gee, Frankie. Just what I wanted. Tissue paper.
The present's under the paper.
Oh,
here it is.
Why, it's a bottle.
It's not just a bottle. It's imported champagne.
You bought a bottle of champagne for me? And gee whiz, it's almost half full, too.
They didn't have any splits, so I bought a magnum and siphoned it off. Where's Alice?
Oh, she's inside calling Don Wilson. You see, the kids want to see Santa Claus tonight, so we're asking Don to play it.
Why are you getting Don Wilson to play Santa?
Well, what else am I going to do?
We'll let them stay up and see the real Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I don't know what time he's coming at. Can I have that again, Herman?
Yeah. Why don't you let the kids see the real Santa Claus?
You better get some sleep, kid.
So you're another one of those cynics, huh? A wise guy who don't believe.
You do?
Of course. Just because you've never seen him don't mean he's not there. You must realize, Curly, there are some things in life that are inexplicable. There exist certain psychic phenomena that are ethereal and beyond the comprehension of we mere mortals. Don't you agree?
Oh, indubitably.
Curly, you can take my word for it. The real guy will show up. I see him every Christmas.
That don't prove nothing. Proves absolutely nothing. You see a lot of things nobody else sees.
All I got to say is it's a good thing kids have more common sense and faith than some grown-ups, or Christmas wouldn't be much fun. I know that tonight old Saint Nick and his reindeer will come flying through the sky. I'll drop by later. Maybe then you'll sing a different tune. Goodbye, infidel.
Poor Remley. He ain't been the same since he switched to yummy yogurt.
Phil, I called Don, but he can't make it. However, he said he had a lot of actor friends, and he'll send one of them over. He said we'd have to pay the actor $10.
So what? It's going to be worth $10 to make the kids happy. Honey, did Don say he could get someone positively? Because this is important now, and
Phil,
I don't want to...
Now, look, honey, Don promised, so stop worrying. He'll be here a little later.
But, Mommy, it's 10 o'clock already, and Santa isn't here yet.
Gee, Mommy, do you think maybe he isn't coming?
Now, don't fret, girls. Of course he's coming. So... You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, Alice, it's after 10. When is that Santa Claus we hired going to show up?
Well, he'll be here, Phil. Don said
Hello.
He would.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Frankie.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Hey, Renly. What do you got there?
Milk and cookies for Santa Claus. I put them on the mantle for him every year.
Milk and cookies? That old man's been working like a dog tonight. Let's leave him something more nourishing like beer and pretzels.
Don't be a funny drummer. And cookies over the fireplace. Where are the kids?
Oh, they're upstairs waiting for Santa.
Yeah, and I'm waiting too. When is the guy going to show up? It's after 10 already.
Be patient, Curly. He's got a long trip from the North Pole. Besides, his reindeer ain't as young as they used to be in his
place. Keep quiet. I'm paying the guy $10. You'd think he'd get here on time.
This subterfuge is all so unnecessary.
Uh-oh. That must be Santa now. I'll let him in, honey.
I'll go with you, honey.
Yeah, come on. Well, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus.
Thank you.
Hello, Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, and where's my $10?
Oh, come on in, Jack.
Hey, Jackson, what are you doing here?
Well, Don Wilson happened to mention that you were in the market for a Santa Claus and you were paying $15. So I thought I might as well pick up the $20.
Wait a minute. The fee is $10. But Jackson, since when do you have to go around playing Santa Claus for money?
Oh, Phil, please, I'm not doing it just for the money. There are other reasons. I'm doing it because, Oh, I could go on naming reasons like that. Oh, hello, Frankie. Merry Christmas. How do I look in my Santa Claus outfit?
Like a road company of Milton Berle. Fine-looking Santa Claus.
I think I look charming.
Charming, you said. Where'd you get that messy red suit? It's got spots all over it.
I rented it. Santa Claus had it last year, was a sloppy eater. Well, how do you think I look? like a bloodshot leopard.
I think you look ridiculous. Get a load of that white beard. Where'd you rent that moth-eaten thing?
That I didn't rent. I was playing canasta with Monty Woolley, and I won it. Of course, you people don't like me as Santa Claus.
Oh, pay no attention to these two, Jack. I think you make a wonderful Santa Claus, and you're worth what we're paying you. Phil, give Jack the $10.
Okay. Here you are, Jackson.
Thanks.
Oh, gee, little Phyllis will get a kick out of this. I'll go call her, and Jack, try to convince her you're really Santa Claus, won't you?
Little Phyllis? Phil, I thought I was doing this for your benefit. If it's for a little Phyllis, I wouldn't think of taking money.
No, it's okay, Jackson. A deal's a deal.
Oh, please, don't embarrass
me. But, Jackson, I...
If it's for the kid, I wouldn't think of taking the $10.
Well, if you insist...
$7.50 is plenty. What kind of a heel do you think I am? Now, Phil...
Well, it's mighty sweet of you, Jackson, to play Santa Claus for my two kids.
Two kids? $7.50 each. Nah, I can't take any money. Can't take any money at all from this. Tell you what, Phil, if you wanna, you can buy me a little something for Christmas.
Like what?
Anything that Alice can afford.
Okay, Jackson, but now look, it's up to you now to make the kids think that you're Santa.
This impersonation is preposterous. Santa Claus won't like this. Besides, you'll never be able to fool the kids.
Oh, I don't know. With this costume and bag of toys over my shoulder, I shouldn't have any trouble.
No, but it would be awful if you wouldn't, if you don't fool them, Jackson, and they'd... Oh, gee, if there was only some kid we could try you out on just to see if you could fool them and...
Miss Faye, where are you? I brought something for you.
Julius. Hey, Frankie, that's just the kid we need. Hey, come on in here, Julius. Now, look, Jackson, if you can fool this kid, you can fool anybody.
Oh, don't worry, Phil. I'll just sit here in this chair here, and you watch his reaction when he sees me.
Okay, Dad, and I certainly
what
hope...
Hey, Mr. Harris, I come over to... Hey, Mr. Harris, don't you feel a little chilly?
No, why?
You left your red flannels lying on that chair.
Look it. I'm not red flannels. Don't you recognize me, Sonny? I'll give you a hint. I'm that jolly old man with the white beard.
Well, if it ain't Gabby Hayes.
He ain't Gabby Hayes, Julius. Look, he's wearing a red suit and he's got a beard. What is he?
A Bolshevik. What's he got over his shoulder, a bag of bombs?
Julius, don't you recognize Santa Claus when you see him?
That's right, son. I'm old Saint Nick.
They can't do this to us little kids. They're a juvenile humanity. I protest this flagrant disrespect.
Oh, shut up. Now sit on my lap and tell me what you want for Christmas, or I'll break every bone in your body. That's the kind of a Santa Claus I am. I am not.
Oh, no? What would I find if I lifted up that white wig?
A brown one.
I thought so. Wait till I see the real Santa tonight. He ain't gonna like it when I tell him he's being impersonated by some old bald-headed schnook.
See, there goes a cute little child. He has all the charm of a wet cigar. He has the personality of a torn pocket.
Like I told you, you can't fool kids.
Well, you could fool a kid. He's not a kid. He's a wise guy. He's not a barometer.
What?
Barometer. I don't know what it means. We'll look it up after.
I certainly don't see it here.
Anymore.
You stay out of this. You know very well that Julius is too old anyway. He's a lot older than my kids. Now, when the girls come down, they won't know the difference because Jackson looks old enough to be
come
able...
Come along, children. Come along. Santa's right in here. Well, there he is.
Gee, Santa Claus. Hello, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas and hello again. This is Santa Claus talking. Come here, children, and tell me how you like old Santa.
We like you fine, Santa. You're just like we pictured you.
Yes, but, Santa...
What is it, my child?
You look awfully old.
Ho, ho, ho. I am, little girl. After all, I'm Santa Claus, and I've lived for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
How old are you?
39. Well, old Santa has to be going now. Here are your toys, girls.
Thank you, Santa.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I'll be seeing you next year. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Up, Dancer, up, Prancer, up, Donner, and Blitzen. Ho, ho, ho!
The big ham.
Well, children, what did you think of Santa Claus?
I liked him, but I was a little disappointed.
Why?
I expected him to take out his violin and play Love and Blue.
You mean you kids knew it was Mr. Benny?
Sure, but we didn't want to say anything and hurt his feelings.
Daddy, when is the real Santa coming?
Well, well, you see, honey,
He'll be here soon, kids.
Oh, Frankie. Look, kids, he may be here too late. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a Christmas story, and then will you run off to bed?
Well, all right, Daddy. But we wanted so much to see him.
I know. Well, maybe next year. Now, look, sit on my lap, and I'll tell you a beautiful Christmas story. You ready? 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. I thought I heard sleigh bells. No. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. Alice, what are those bells? What's the...
Shh. Quiet, Curly. Christmas, Santa.
Frankie, who are you talking to? I don't see anybody.
The kids do. Look at them.
Gee, Santa, we knew you'd come.
They couldn't fool us with any make-believe Santa Claus. We were waiting just for you.
Oh, sure, we've been very good girls. Oh, what a lovely dollhouse. Thank you.
And all these things are for me? Can I open them now? All right, Santa, we'll wait till morning. Thank you very much.
And a Merry Christmas to you too, Santa.
Of course we'll tell them. Merry Christmas and goodbye, Santa Claus.
Bye.
Show up, Curly.
But Frankie, I don't get it. I heard it, but I didn't see him.
Of course you didn't. He sure is a nice looking old gent.
Alice, did you see him?
I'm not sure, Phil. I almost thought I saw him standing by the fireplace.
But Alice, how could it be? If he was standing...
Phil. Phil, what are you staring at?
The mantle. Alice. The milk and cookies. They're gone.
And Phil will be back in just a moment. Merry Christmas to all from Rexall.
Alice, Phyllis, Santa said something to you and you said, yes, we'll tell them. What did he say?
He told us to be sure and wish you and Daddy a Merry Christmas.
He did? Oh. Hey, wasn't that swell of him? Look, kids, now you're all tucked in, you've seen Santa, and you've had everything you want, so will you go right to sleep?
Good night, girls.
Good night.
Good night, babies. You know something, Alice? We're lucky to have two sweet kids like that. They're little darlings.
Daddy!
Yes, dear?
Can I have a drink of water?
Go to sleep!
Stay tuned for Sam Spade, then two great stars on Theater Guild on NBC.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And we're ready for our final hour of Radio Vault. We are going to take a listen to, I think we've done this for a couple of years, Miracle on 34th Street. This was a movie starring Edmund Gwynn. And it's a fun show. That's coming up after we hear from the man with the Southern Blues jumper here in WHFR.
Hi, I'm the jumper, the one who wrote that Trailways bus out of Louisiana. Now I'm on that blues plane doing my thing all the way up 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night on WHFR 89.3 each and every Wednesday night. Well, hey, you want to stop in and have some fun? We got blues you can use right here on WHFR 89.3 Dearborn.
I've been downhearted, baby, ever since the day we met.
Greetings from Washington, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I wish I could be with you in person, but we've been busy all this past week filming scenes here at the FBI headquarters. Meanwhile, I know you're in capable hands with a cast of tonight's great screenplay, Miracle on 34th Street, from my home studio, 20th Century Fox. We are particularly gratified to have the original stars of the picture, Maureen O'Hara, John Payne, Edmund Gwynn, and Natalie Wood. Miracle on 34th Street takes up a question as old as the spirit of Christmas itself. Is there a Santa Claus? And answers that question very happily. This Christmas week, when most of us think of Lux Flakes as a friendly gift, I'm in the position of thanking Lux Flakes for a friendly gift. The opportunity to be with you at this Christmas presentation through the magic medium of radio. And here's another present to you from Lux, as our curtain rises on Act One of Miracle on 34th Street, starring Maureen O'Hara as Doris Walker, John Payne as Fred Gailey, Edmund Gwenn as Chris Kingle, and Natalie Wood as Susan Walker.
It's Thanksgiving Day in New York City. On Fifth Avenue, adjoining Central Park, an annual event is being joyfully awaited. The spectacular parade presented by Macy's Department Store to herald in the Christmas season. A little away from the crowd are two of Macy's public relations experts.
He's simply wonderful, Mrs. Walker. Just look at him on that float. The most realistic Santa Claus we've ever had. Why, he didn't even need any padding, did he?
Padding?
Well, didn't you notice his tummy? So round, so firm, so fully packed. Well, now that everything's under control, where on earth did you find him?
I don't know. I just turned around and there he was.
And to think that the man whose place he took was intoxicated.
With a breath that would knock over a reindeer.
Oh, what if Mr. Macy had seen him?
What if Mr. Gimble had seen him? Competition between our stores is tough enough as it is.
Well, the parade's starting. Let's stand at the curb.
Not I, Mr. Shellhammer. I'm going home and relax. Anyway, I can see it from there. I live just around the corner.
Oh, so you do. Well, see you tomorrow, Mrs. Walker. And congratulations on finding the best Santa Claus in Macy's history.
Certainly is a wonderful parade, Susan. Just look at that clown. Gosh, what a giant.
Giant, Mr. Gailey? There are no such things as giants.
Well, not now, maybe, but in olden days there's...
Really, Mr. Gailey? And you a lawyer?
Well, what about the giant that Jack killed? You know, Jack and the Beanstalk?
Everybody knows that's a fairy tale. And I agree with my mother. Fairy tales are silly.
Oh. Come in.
Mother, my maid said...
Hello, Mother. I'm watching the parade. Mr. Gailey invited me.
Hello, darling.
Susie's told me quite a lot about you, Mrs. Walker.
She's told me quite a lot about you, too, the man in the front department.
This is all part of a plot, Mrs. Walker. I'm very fond of Susie, but I also wanted to meet you.
At least you're frank.
Here's old Santa Claus.
Don't even mention the name.
Why not, Mother?
That Santa Claus you see is a last-minute substitute.
But why?
Well, remember the way the janitor was last New Year's?
Oh, my. Tight as an owl.
I see Susie doesn't believe in Santa Claus either.
That's right. She never has.
Well, that's the end of the parade. Mother, I've been thinking. It's Thanksgiving, and there are only two of us. Couldn't we invite Mr. Gailey?
Well, I...
Oh, please don't bother. I'll just have a sandwich or something.
But we have such a big turkey. Please, Mother, please.
Well, I...
Did I ask all right, Mr. Gailey?
Susie, shh.
You asked fine, Susan. Dinner's at 3, Mr. Gailey.
Hello, Mrs. Walker?
Yes, Mr. Shellhammer?
Your maid said you were at Thanksgiving dinner, but I just had to tell you, your Santa Claus was stupendous.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Macy himself wants him to be our toy department Santa Claus.
Fine. Can you hire him?
Well, I already have. Oh, he's a born salesman. I just feel it.
Good. We'll talk about it in the morning. Thanks for calling, Mr. Shellhammer.
Here he is, Mr. Shellhammer. Here's Santa Claus.
Thank you, Alfred. Thank you. Good morning, Santa Claus.
Good morning.
Now, before you go to the toy department, here's a list of toys that we have to push. You know, things we're overstocked on. Now, you'll find that a great many children will be undecided as to what they want for Christmas. Now, when that happens, you immediately suggest one of these items. You understand?
I certainly do.
Fine. Now, take the list, and Alfred here will show you to your throne in the toy department. And don't forget, you're working for Macy.
Are you really Santa Claus?
Why, of course I am. And what do you want for Christmas, little boy?
I want a fire engine with a real hose that squirts real wet water. And I won't do it in the house. I'll only do it in the backyard. I promise.
And I promise you'll get your fire engine.
You see, Mama?
I told you he'd get me one.
That's fine. That's just dandy. You wait here, Mortimer. Mama wants to thank Santa Claus, too.
Yes, madam?
Say, what's the matter with you?
Now. What's the trouble?
I told you before, didn't I? The kid wants a fire engine, but there isn't one to be had anywhere in town. Macy's ain't got any. Gimble's ain't got any. Nobody's got any. My feet are killing me, and you say, okay, he gets the fire engine.
Yeah, but you can get those fire engines at Schoenfeld's on Lexington Avenue. Only $4.50. Wonderful bargain.
Schoenfeld? Mm. Hey, I don't get it.
Oh, I follow the toy market very closely.
Macy sending people to other stores? Mm. Are you kidding?
Well, the one important thing is to make the children happy, isn't it? Whether Macy's or somebody else sells the toy doesn't matter. Don't you feel that way?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Only I didn't know Macy's did. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Who's next, please? Right this way to see Santa Claus. All right, little girl. You're next.
Well, of course, little girl. You want some roller skates? Well, you shall have them, too.
Oh, Mama, Mama. He's going to bring me some roller skates.
Yes, he has some fine skates here at Macy's, haven't you, Santa Claus?
Oh, they're good skates, all right, but not quite good enough. Now, I left some really wonderful roller skates at Gimble's. I'm sure Gimble's have just what this good little girl wants.
Mr. Shellhammer? Are you Mr. Shellhammer?
Gimble's. Gimble's? That's just what he did say. Gimble's!
The sales lady said I should speak to you.
Gimble's!
I just wanted to congratulate you and Macy's on this wonderful new stunt you're pulling. Imagine a big outfit like Macy's putting the spirit of Christmas ahead of the commercial. Well, from now on, I'm going to be a regular Macy customer. All right, Mortimer, we're going.
Gimble's!
Department over there, Mr. Gailey.
You certainly know all about Macy's store, don't you, Susie?
Well, that's because my mother works here. But I still think it's silly, bringing me here to see Santa Claus.
Well, I just felt that if you talk to him, maybe...
Okay, Mr. Gailey. I'm certainly willing to try.
Well, well, what a fine young lady. And what's your name, little girl?
Susan Walker. What's yours?
Mine? Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus.
Hmm.
You don't believe that, eh?
No. You see, my mother is Mrs. Walker.
Oh.
But I must say you're the best-looking Santa Claus I've ever seen.
Really?
Your beard, for instance, it doesn't have one of those things that goes over your ears.
Well, that's because it's real. Just like I'm really Santa Claus. Go ahead. Pull it.
Well, my goodness. It is real.
Yes. Now, what would you like me to bring you for Christmas?
Nothing, thank you. Whatever I want, my mother will get for me. If it's sensible and doesn't cost too much, of course.
That's quite right, Susan.
Oh, hello, Mother.
Hello, Mr. Gailey.
How are you? The explanation for this is all very simple. Your maid's mother sprained her ankle. She had to go home. She asked me to bring Susie down to you. And as long as we were here, I figured we might as well say hello to Santa Claus.
He has real whiskers, Mother.
Susan, would you mind standing over there a minute?
If you want me to.
I shouldn't have brought Susan to see Santa, is that it?
Oh, now you're making me feel completely heartless.
I'm sorry.
Don't you see? I tell Susan that Santa Claus is a myth, and you sure are a very convincing old man with real whiskers. Whom is she to believe?
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
When Susan was a baby, her father and I were divorced. Ever since then, I've protected my child by teaching her realities. If you don't believe in fairy tales and fantasy, you can never be hurt or disillusioned.
We were talking about Susie, Mrs. Walker.
And I must ask you to let me raise her as I see fit. All right, dear. We'll run along to my office now.
Alfred said you wanted to see me, Mrs. Walker.
Oh, yes. I'd be grateful if you'd please tell Susan that you're not really Santa Claus, that there actually is no such person.
But Mrs. Walker, not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.
No, you must understand. I want you to tell her the truth. Now, what's your real name?
Kris Kringle, and I always tell the truth. Susan, I'll bet you're in the first grade.
Second grade.
I mean your real name.
That is my real name. My goodness, the second grade?
Very well. I have your employment card right here. I'll look it up on that.
That's a very cute dress, Susan.
It's from Macy's. We get 10% off.
Oh.
So, you always tell the truth, do you? Look at your employment card.
Name, Kris Kringle. Address? Brooks Memorial Home, Great Neck, Long Island. You may call the home if you care to confirm that, Mrs. Walker. It's a home for elderly gentlemen.
Would you also like me to confirm this?
What's that?
Date of birth. As old as my tongue and a little bit older than my teeth. Place of birth, North Pole. Now, really?
Why, I believe you doubt me, Mrs. Walker.
And this tops everything. Next of kin.
Oh, that.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. I'm sorry to have to do this, Mr.
Kringle.
But the Santa Claus that we had 2 years ago is back in town, and I feel that we owe it to him to...
What, have I done something wrong?
No, it's just that we feel... Oh, excuse me. Hello?
This is Mr. Shellhammer, Mrs. Walker. Drop whatever you're doing. Mr. Macy wants to see us immediately.
Oh, I'll be right up. I'm afraid I'll have to be very abrupt with you. I have to see Mr. Macy. You'll be paid for the full week, Mr. Kringle, and I'll send your check to that address.
Come right in, Mrs. Walker, Mr. Shellhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Macy.
Now, about this new policy you two initiated.
Oh.
Macy's Santa Claus sending customers to Gimble's.
I can explain everything, Mr. Macy.
You don't
Macy.
Have to explain a thing. Just look at my desk. 42 telegrams and over 500 phone calls. Grateful parents expressing undying gratitude to Macy's department store.
Well, you don't say.
From now on, not only will our Santa Claus continue in this manner, but every salesperson in the entire store.
You mean if we haven't got what the customer asks for, we're to
send him where he can get it. No high pressuring, no forcing a customer to take something he doesn't really want.
I think that's wonderful, Mr. Macy.
We'll be known as the helpful store, the friendly store, the store that places public service ahead of profits. And consequently, we'll make more profits than ever. As for you, Mrs. Walker, Mr. Shellhammer, you'll find a more practical expression of my gratitude in your Christmas envelopes.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
tell
you.
That wonderful Santa Claus I won't forget him either. Matter of fact, I'll tell him myself in the morning.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Macy.
Good night, good night.
Good night, Mr. Macy.
And thank you again, sir. Imagine, a bonus.
Yes.
Well, what's the matter with you?
Mr. Shellhammer, I just fired him.
Who?
Santa Claus.
Oh, no. No, you couldn't have.
But I did. He's crazy, Mr. Shellhammer. He really thinks he is Santa Claus.
I don't care if he thinks he's the Easter Bunny. Find him. Oh, no, no, no.
In a moment, we'll continue with Miracle on 34th Street. Say, Libby, I understand you were at that wonderful party RKO gave last month. For the company of Tycoon, after they finished the picture.
Yes, indeed. And I met so many interesting people. Lorraine Day introduced me to John Wayne, who co-starred with her in the picture. He was telling me what marvelous Technicolor shots they got on location in the Sierras.
Anybody else I know there?
Well, Rosalind Russell made quite a stir when she dropped in with RKO's two British stars, Michael Redgrave and Leo Ginn.
Rosalind looking, as usual, like one of the 10 best-dressed women in America?
Well, like the best-dressed belle of 1865 this time. Because the three of them came right from the set of Morning Becomes Electra. Rosalind was still wearing her hoop skirts and poke bonnet.
She has a very exacting role in that picture.
In more ways than one. Her stockings took more punishment than any other part of her costume. Because the sound stage for the mansion set has real sod on it that was watered several times a day. Rosalind changed her shoes and stockings constantly because of the dampness.
We continue with Act Two of Miracle on 34th Street, starring Maureen O'Hara as Doris Walker, John Payne as Fred Gailey, Edmund Gwen as Kris Kringle, and Natalie Wood as Susan. It was a frantic few hours that Doris spent last night rushing out to the Brooks Memorial Home in Long Island and assuring Kris Kringle that Macy's wanted him back as Santa Claus. So Kris is again presiding over the crowded toy department. While in her office, Doris and Mr. Shellhammer...
Don't you understand, Mr. Shellhammer? That old man with the nice white whiskers insists that he is Santa Claus. He's out of his mind. What if he should have a fit or something? Oh, no, I've got to tell Mr. Macy.
But maybe he's only a little crazy. Anyway, you can't be sure till he's examined. We'll send him to Mr. Sawyer.
Sawyer?
In personnel. He's paid to examine employees, isn't he? Now, by the way, what do you think of this?
What is it?
A full-page ad. Macy's is running in tomorrow's newspapers.
Macy's is running it? But it's all about the other stores, Gimbel's and Saks.
I know. Mr. Macy's idea to help our customers find what they want. Revolting, isn't it?
That Santa Claus certainly has started something. Oh, well, I'll get hold of him in his lunch hour and I'll send him up to Mr. Sawyer.
Changed my clothes, Mr. Sawyer, and came right up.
Oh, then that's your own beard, huh?
Oh, yes.
Interesting complex in back of that. Why do you carry a cane?
Always carry a cane, Mr. Sawyer. Well, that is when I wear street clothes. I carved this cane out of a runner from one of my old sleighs.
What's that?
What's that?
With a fine, solid silver top.
Who's the first president of the United States?
Oh, give me a difficult one. Like, who was vice president under John Quincy Adams?
I'm conducting this examination.
The answer is Daniel D. Tompkins. You're a rather nervous man, aren't you? Do you get enough sleep?
My personal habits are no concern of yours. Now, what hand am I holding up?
Right hand.
How many fingers do you see?
Three. Oh, dear, dear, dear. And you bite your nails,
what?
Too.
Stand up now. Feet together, arms extended.
Muscular coordination test. I've taken dozens of these tests. Mr. Sawyer, are you happy at home?
That will be all, Mr. Kringle. The examination's over.
Thank you.
And it may interest you to know that I've been happily married, very happily, for 22 years, very happily married.
Delighted to hear it. Bye, Mr. Sawyer. Bye.
Miss Prawn!
Yes, sir.
Get Mrs. Walker on the phone.
Yes, sir. But your wife, Mr. Sawyer, she's called four times already.
Tell my big fat wife to shut up and mind her own business.
Here's Mrs. Walker, sir.
Hello?
I was just going to call you, Mr. Sawyer. There's a Dr. Pierce stopping by this afternoon at 3.
Who's Dr. Pierce?
He's the physician at the Brooks home. I thought we might discuss Mr. Kringle's case with him.
Well, there's hardly any point in discussing it, Mrs. Walker. Obviously, the old man should be discharged. So, Dr. Pierce, Kringle should be dismissed immediately and sent to a mental institution.
Oh, now, just a moment.
But he's deluded, saying that he's Santa Claus.
Well, it's a delusion for good. I found he only wants to be friendly and helpful.
No, his whole manner suggests aggressiveness. Why, look at the way he carries that cane. Well, Mrs. Walker, naturally, I can't discharge that loony. So when he exhibits his maniacal tendencies, please realize the responsibility is completely yours.
Well, I'm right back where I started.
Mrs. Walker, I assure you, Kris Kringle has no maniacal tendencies.
But if there's the slightest possibility of his causing any trouble...
Well, what trouble?
All that need happen is that a policeman ask him his name. Kris Kringle, clang, clang, and Macy's Santa Claus lands up in the psychopathic ward.
Well, you can prevent that very simply. There must be someone here at the store who could rent him a room. Then they could both come to work together. I'd just as soon he avoided that long train ride to Long Island anyway.
You mean sort of take custody of him?
Yeah.
Do you think Mr. Kringle would agree to that?
Well, I'm sure he'll agree.
Well, in that case, now let's see. Who do I know who could rent him a room?
To have dinner with us, Mr. Kringle.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
I'm also very glad you're going to live next door with Mr. Gailey.
Oh, why?
Because you're nice to talk to.
Oh, what a fine young man that Mr. Gailey is, eh? Just think, allowing me to share his apartment, a mere stranger.
Confidentially, he did it because Mother hinted to him.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm very grateful.
Shall I tell you what I did in school today?
Yeah, by all means. Any games?
Yes, and a very silly game, too. They played zoo, and each child was supposed to be an animal.
But, Susie, they were just pretending.
Well, that's what makes a game so silly.
Well, of course, in order to play games, you need imagination.
Oh, that's when you see things, but they're not really there.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, imagination is a place all by itself. Now, you've heard of the French nation, the British nation. Well, this is the imagination. A very interesting place, too. Now, how would you like to be able to make snowballs in the summertime, eh? Or be the Statue of Liberty in the morning, and in the afternoon, fly south with a flock of geese?
Oh, I'm quite sure I'd like it, but...
Oh, it's very simple. Now, look here, anyway, the next time they play zoo, you can be a monkey.
But I don't know how to be a monkey.
Don't you? Here, I'll show you. Now, first you bend over a little, like this. See?
Now let your arms hang loose. Eh?
Like this?
Yeah, that's fine, fine. Now put your hand over here and start scratching, see? That's excellent, Susan, excellent. That's as fine a bit of scratching as I've ever seen. Well, now start chattering.
Chattering?
Yes, chattering. Listen, now. See, I keep on scratching. Now then, we'll do it together, see? Chatter and scratch, and scratch and chatter. Huh? Well, that's fine, Susan, fine. You're doing beautifully. Susan, you still awake?
Yes.
I just come in to say goodnight. Susan, about Christmas. There must be something you'd like for Christmas.
Well, I've certainly thought about something, Mr. Kringle.
You have? What is it, eh? Tell me.
It's right here on the night table.
Oh?
See, I tore this page out of a magazine. It's a picture of a house.
Oh, that's what you want, eh? A doll's house. Colonial architecture.
Oh, no, not a doll's house. A real house.
A real house?
Yes, and if you're really Santa Claus, you can get it for me.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Susie. What could you possibly do with a big house?
Live in it with my mother. And I want a great big backyard with a great big tree to put a swing on, and a garden, and a... Oh, well, why even discuss it?
Susie, could I keep this picture just in case?
I guess so.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Mr. Gale is waiting for me. Good night, monkey.
Good night, Mr. Kringle.
Take whichever bed you want, Mr. Kringle.
No, you're very kind, really. Tell me, Mr. Gale, just what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a lawyer. Haslip, Sherman, McKenzie.
Oh. And you like living here in the city?
Well, it's convenient. But someday I'd like to get a place out on Long Island. Not a big house, just one of those junior partner deals around Manhasset.
One of those little colonial houses, eh?
Yeah. A little colonial house would be swell.
Oh. You're quite fond of Mrs. Walker, aren't you?
Yeah. A lot of good it does me. She lives in a cast iron shell that's a little difficult to penetrate.
Oh, you must try harder, Mr. Gailey. Mrs. Walker and that child are a couple of lost souls, and it's up to us to help them. Oh, well, shall I turn out the light?
Oh, no. I'm not going to be cheated out of this. You know, all my life I've wondered about it, and now I'm going to find out. Does Santa Claus sleep with his whiskers inside or outside the covers?
Oh, outside, of course. Outside, by all means. The cold makes them grow.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, come in, Mrs. Walker. Come in.
Thank you, Mr. Macy. I've just heard something very exciting.
You have? Well, let me tell you something very exciting. Our policy of being kind to customers has tripled our sales. Now, what do you think of that?
That's wonderful, Mr. Macy. And Gimbals thinks it's wonderful, too.
Gimbals?
Gimbals are adopting the same policy.
Well, is that so?
And it gives me an idea. As long as Gimbals are doing the same thing, why not some pictures for the newspapers?
Pictures?
Yes, you and Mr. Gimble shaking hands.
Shaking hands? R.H. Macy and Gimble?
Well, yes.
Yes, why not? With Santa Claus, it's a great idea, Mrs. Walker. Macy and Gimble, shaking hands. That's enough pictures, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Gimble?
Come on, R.H. Now we'll go over to my store and get some really good pictures.
Just a minute. I have something here for Santa Claus. Here you are, Mr. Kringle, a check in appreciation of all you've done.
Mr. Macy, why, that's most kind of you.
I didn't think you were that generous, R.H. Well, that's quite a check. What are you going to do with it, Mr. Kringle?
Well, I have a friend, a Dr. Pierce. He needs a new X-ray machine.
Buy the machine through the store. 10% discount.
Nonsense! Come over to Gimble's and we'll furnish it at cost.
Keep it up, gentlemen. Keep it up. At this rate, my friend will have a whole new hospital.
How did the pictures turn out, Mr. Kringle?
Oh, fine, Alfred, fine. How about a game of checkers during lunch?
No, not today, Chris. I don't feel so good.
Huh? What's the matter, Alfred?
Oh, nothing much. You remember I was telling you how I like to play Santa Claus over at the Y and give out packages to the kids?
Yeah.
Well, I was telling Mr. Sawyer about it, and he says that's very bad, that psychologically it's all wrong.
Wrong? To be nice to children?
Well, he says guys who play Santa Claus do it because when they was young, they must have done something bad. Now they do something they think is good to make up for it, see? It's what he calls a guilt complex.
Alfred, what else has he found wrong with you?
Oh, nothing much. Just that I hate my father. I didn't know it, but he says I do.
Excuse me.
Hey, ain't you going to lunch?
Later. Right now I have an appointment with Mr. Sawyer.
What do you mean breaking into my office like this?
Are you a licensed psychiatrist?
What business is it of yours?
I have great respect for psychiatry and great contempt for meddling amateurs who go around practicing it.
Shut up!
You ought to be horsewhipped. Taking a boy like Alfred and filling him up with complices and phobias and...
I think I'm better equipped to judge that than you.
Just because Alfred wants to be kind to children, you tell him he has a guilt complex.
Having the same delusion you couldn't possibly understand. And don't you wave that cane at me.
Either you stop analyzing Alfred or I'll go straight to Mr. Macy and tell him what a contemptible fraud you are.
Get out of here. Get out of here before I have you thrown out.
There's only one way to handle a man like you. Well... maybe this'll knock some sense into
you. Oh, help! Oh, oh, my head! Oh, oh!
Good day, Mr. Sawyer.
Oh, Miss Prawn! Get me the police! Get me Mrs. Walker! Get me the psychopathic ward at Bellevue Hospital!
You can see Mr. Kringle now, Mr. Gailey.
Thank you, nurse. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Fred.
Chris, I've been speaking to the doctors. They said they've given you some tests.
Yeah. Same old tests.
Except this time you failed to pass them. Chris, you deliberately failed them. Why?
Because I had great hopes, Fred. I had a feeling Mrs. Walker was beginning to believe in me. Now I discover she was only humoring me all the time.
But this wasn't Doris's idea at all. Mr. Sawyer had you sent here before she even knew about it.
But why didn't she come to me and explain things?
Because she didn't want to hurt you.
Oh, it's not just Mrs. Walker, Fred. Now, take Mr. Sawyer. He's contemptible, dishonest, deceitful. Yet he's out there and I'm in here. Well, if that's normal, I don't want it.
But you can't just think of yourself, Chris. What happens to you matters to a lot of other people. People like me who believe in what you stand for, and people like, well, like Susie, who are just beginning to. Chris, you're letting us down.
No, maybe you're right, Fred. Of course you're right. I ought to be ashamed of myself. Let's get out of here.
Now, wait a minute. You flunked your mental examination, but good.
Oh, yes. Yes, so I did. Well, you're a lawyer. You fix it.
Hey, now, look, I...
I won't let you down, and you won't let me down.
Chris, take it easy, will you? Look, there'll have to be a hearing. If you're going to be committed, it's got to go before a judge.
Well?
Well, if I can do anything at all, it'll have to be in that courtroom. Now, sit tight, Chris. I'll get an idea. I'll have to get an idea.
Sent for me, Mr. Macy.
I certainly did, Mr. Sawyer. I brought my family to the toy department to see our Santa Claus. And our Santa Claus isn't there. He's in Bellevue.
Yes, Mr. Macy.
Because he's a lunatic.
Yes, sir. Lunatic.
Lunatic, my foot. You listen to me, Sawyer. You get that case dropped right away, you'll have another lump to match the one he gave you.
But it's out of my hands. Mr. Kringle goes to court in the morning.
Well, just see that he's back in the toy department by afternoon. Now get out of here.
Mr. Gailey.
Yes?
I've been looking all over for you. I'm Mr. Sawyer.
Oh, so you're Sawyer.
Yes. I was just speaking to the court clerk, and he said you represent Mr. Kringle. Well, I represent Mr. Macy.
And I'll see you in court.
Oh, well, that's what I wanted to speak to you about. Now, Mr. Macy would like to drop the whole case right now. You see, we're most anxious to avoid any publicity.
No publicity, huh? That's very interesting.
Ah, then you'll cooperate?
You know something, Sawyer? You've just given me the idea I've been searching for.
Oh, good, good.
If I'm going to win this case, I'm going to have public opinion and plenty of it. And publicity's just the way to do it. Thanks, and so long, Sawyer.
Mr. Gailey. But Mr. Gailey!
Look at these newspapers, Chris. Here, Evening Dispatch. Doctors doubt sanity of Santa who launched goodwill campaign.
Oh, my.
Daily Bulletin. Macy's Santa Claus to have lunacy hearing.
What's this one?
New York Star.
Is Kris Kringle crazy? Court case coming? Kiddies cry calamity?
You've driven the United Nations clear back to page 5. Get a good night's sleep, Chris. We go before Judge Harper at 10 tomorrow morning.
Okay.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. We'll return with Miracle on 34th Street in a moment. If it's possible to be born an actress, our guest tonight was, for Barbara Beebe Lyon is the daughter of two famous parents, Beebe Daniels and Ben Lyon, the well-known screen stars who are now on the executive end of motion pictures. You know, Barbara, you resemble your mother very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. That's a great compliment. But I know I'll have to work hard and make a place for myself. Right now, I'm studying dramatics.
And visiting the studios to study techniques?
That's right. I spent a lot of time at 20th Century Fox, watching them make Gentleman's Agreement. Dorothy McGuire is so natural. She's marvelous.
And Gregory Peck turns in one of his finest performances in that story of present-day intolerance.
Yes, and I was interested in Celeste Holm, too, because she plays her first straight dramatic role in Gentleman's Agreement. Afterward, she asked me to tea in her dressing room. But an uninvited guest almost spoiled the party.
Who was that?
Gregory's dog, Perry. He's such a pet. He thought he was invited, too, and in his enthusiasm, bumped Celeste's elbow and she spilled cream over her lovely negligee.
Now, here's Act 3 of Miracle on 34th Street, starring Maureen O'Hara as Doris Walker, John Payne as Fred Gailey, Edmund Gwenn as Chris, and Natalie Wood as Susan. For a few weeks, a jolly elderly gentleman named Kris Kringle has been working minor miracles as the Santa Claus of Macy's department store. But now his sanity has been seriously questioned. And in a crowded courtroom, Judge Harper listens patiently as the assistant district attorney summons Chris to the witness stand.
Now, this is not a trial, Mr. Kringle. It's just a hearing, so you don't have to answer any questions. Now then, where do you live, please?
Well, it seems to me that's what this hearing will decide, won't it?
Mr. Kringle, do you believe that you are Santa Claus? Well,
of course I do.
That's all, Your Honor. The state rests its case.
Well, Mr. Gailey?
Your Honor, Mr. Mara contends my client is not sane because he believes he is Santa Claus.
An entirely logical conclusion.
Anyone who thinks he's Santa Claus is crazy.
Your Honor, you believe yourself to be Judge Harper. Yet no one questions your sanity because you are Judge Harper, do they?
Mr. Kringle is the subject of this sanity hearing, not I.
Very well, Your Honor. But I intend to prove that Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Mr. Mara, I thought you said this was a cut-and-dried sanity hearing.
I thought it was, Your Honor.
In the view of Mr. Gailey's statement, I'll have to review the entire background of this case. Court's adjourned till tomorrow morning.
Hello, Doris. I'm sorry I'm late, but get ready. We're really going to celebrate tonight.
What are we celebrating?
Well, didn't you read the papers? Santa's mouthpiece throws bombshell in New York Supreme Court.
Fred, you're not really serious about this. You can't possibly prove that Chris is Santa Claus.
Well, you saw Mr. Macy and Mr. Gimble shake hands. That wasn't possible either.
And what does your firm have to say about it, Haislip and McKenzie and the rest of them?
That I've jeopardized their prestige, and either I drop this impossible case or they'll drop me.
You see?
So I beat them to it. I quit.
Fred, you threw away your career because of a sentimental whim?
Well, I'll open my own office.
And what kind of clients will you get?
Oh, probably a lot of people like Chris are being pushed around. You know, that's the only fun in law anyway. Doris, look, don't you have any faith at all in me?
Oh, it's not a question of faith. It's common sense.
But faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. It's not just Chris that's on trial. It's everything he stands for. Human kindness and love.
Fred, listen. We've seen a lot of each other the last couple of weeks. I've become very fond of you. We've talked about some wonderful plans, haven't we?
And then you do this. You go on an idealistic binge, throw away your security, and you expect me to be happy about it.
And I expect too much, is that it? Well, that's that, I guess. Good night, Doris. Hello. Yes, this is Mr. Murray. Well, can't I wait till tomorrow? I'm eating Who's been subpoenaed?
Well, how do you think I feel about it? I'll see you tomorrow.
Who's that, dear?
R.H. Macy's been subpoenaed.
Oh, my.
Oh, those reporters. They make me look like a sadistic monster who likes nothing better than to drown pussycats and tear wings off of butterflies.
Quiet, dear, quiet. Tommy's still awake.
Oh, yeah.
It'd just break his heart if he knew what his daddy's doing.
I'm doing my job as assistant district attorney.
Well, I'm not so sure but that I agree with him. Mr. Kringle looks like a very nice old man, and I don't see why you have to keep persecuting him.
I'm not persecuting him. I'm prosecuting him. I like the old man, too, but there's nothing I can do about it.
You know something, Thomas? Sometimes I wish I'd married a butcher or a plumber.
Well, if I lose this case, it's very possible you'll get your wish. R.H. Macy, I wonder what he's going to pull tomorrow.
Proceed with the witness, Mr. Gailey. Now then, Mr. Macy, if you recognize the defendant, please tell us who he is.
Kris Kringle, of course.
Do you believe him to be of sound mind?
Sound mind? I wish I had a dozen like him.
Mr. Macy, you're under oath. Do you believe that man is Santa Claus?
Well, now, that's rather a delicate...
Careful, R.H. Just think of those headlines tomorrow. Macy admits his Santa Claus is fraud.
You keep out of this, Gimble.
What did you say?
Nothing, Mr. Mara.
Well, I wish you would. Is that man Santa Claus?
Yes. In my opinion, he most certainly is.
Your Honor, there is no such person as Santa Claus, and everybody knows it.
Can you prove there isn't any?
I won't even try. I'll not waste the court's time with such childish nonsense. Your Honor, the prosecution requests an immediate ruling from this court. Is there or is there not a Santa Claus?
Well, now, the court will take a short recess to consider the question.
Hello, Henry.
Why, Charlie, what are you doing here?
Can't an old friend visit you in your chambers? And if you ask me, you never needed a friend like you do now.
This Kringle case? Well, I certainly don't see what they're making such a fuss about.
Henry, that's Santa Claus you got out there on trial for lunacy. This case is dynamite, and you're coming up for re-election soon.
Charlie, you know what happened last night? Martha brought the grandchildren over. They wouldn't kiss Grandpa. They wouldn't even talk to me.
Yeah, you see what I mean? If you rule there is no Santa Claus, you better start looking at that chicken farm right now.
I'm a responsible judge. How can I seriously rule that there is a Santa Claus?
Because of what happens if you don't. The kids read about it and they don't hang up their stockings. Now, what happens to all the toys that are supposed to be in those stockings? Nobody buys them. The toy manufacturers have to lay off employees. By now, you've got the AF of L and the CIO against you. They're not going to say it with votes, eh? Oh, the department stores are going to love you, too. Yes, sir, Henry. And what about the Salvation Army? They got a Santa Claus in every street corner, and they're taking a lot of money to help the poor. But go ahead, Henry. You go in there and rule there isn't any Santa Claus. But if you do, you can count on getting just two votes. Your own and that district attorney's out there.
One vote, Charlie. He's a Republican. Oh, well, let's get this over with. The question of Santa Claus seems to be largely a matter of opinion. The tradition of American justice demands a broad and unprejudiced view of such a controversial matter.
But, Your Honor...
This court, therefore, intends to keep its mind open. We shall ask for evidence on either side.
But the burden of proof clearly rests with my opponent. Can he produce any evidence to support his views?
If Your Honor please, I can. Will Thomas Mara please take the stand?
Who? Me?
No, Thomas Mara, Jr. I believe he and his mother are both in court today.
Hi, Papa.
Hi.
Tommy, do you believe in Santa Claus?
I sure do. He gave me a brand new sled last year.
And what does Santa Claus look like, Tommy?
Well, there he is, sitting right over there.
Your Honor, I...
Overruled!
Tell me, Tommy,
Why are you so sure there's a Santa Claus?
Because my papa told me so. Didn't you, Papa?
Thank you, Tommy. You can go back to your mother now.
See you later, Papa.
You certainly will.
Your Honor!
Don't forget, Santa Claus. This year I want a football helmet.
Now, don't worry, Tommy. You'll get it.
Mr. Kringle, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, sir.
Your Honor, the state of New York concedes the existence of a Santa Claus. But in so conceding, we demand that Mr. Gailey stop presenting personal opinion as evidence. I insist he submit authority to proof that Mr. Kringle here is the one and only Santa Claus.
Well, Mr. Gailey, are you prepared to show that Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus on the basis of unprejudiced authority?
Well,
no, not now. I need a little time.
Why not now?
Tomorrow, Your Honor.
Very well. Court's adjourned till tomorrow morning.
Phew.
Now come, Susan, dear. Finish your supper.
But I can't, Mother. All those things they're saying in the newspapers about Mr. Kringle and Mr. Gailey.
Susan, they're having this trial because he says he's Santa Claus.
But he's so kind and nice and jolly. He's not like anyone else I know. He must be Santa.
You know something? I think perhaps you're right.
Is Mr. Kringle sad now, Mother?
I'm afraid he must be.
Then I'll write him a letter. Maybe that'll make him feel better. I'll cheer him up and I'll tell him I believe it.
Postman.
Yeah, lady?
Would you mind taking this letter?
Oh, sure, lady. We're going straight down to the post office now. Okay, Louie, take it away. What do you know, Louie? Another letter for Santa Claus. Hey, here's a new one. Instead of North Pole, this kid's got it addressed to Kris Kringle, New York County Courthouse.
Well, the kid's right.
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. They got him on trial down there. He claims he's Santa Claus and the DA claims he's nuts.
Hey, Frankie, I got an idea.
Yeah?
How many Santa Claus letters do you think we got down there in the dead letter office?
Oh, who knows? Must be 50,000. Bags and bags all over the joint.
You mean, but Frankie, why not? Wouldn't it be nice to get rid of them all? Wouldn't it?
Boy, oh boy. Look, Louie, soon as we get to the post office, we go see the supervisor. You know something? I bet we both get promoted!
And since the defense has been unable to submit one shred of proof that Kris Kringle is the one and only Santa Claus, and since tonight is Christmas Eve, I ask, Your Honor, that this hearing be terminated without further delay.
I protest, Your Honor, I do have evidence.
5 minutes ago, you said you didn't.
During Mr. Marrow's oration, the bailiff handed my client the evidence I refer to.
What evidence?
This letter, Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Kringle?
It's from Susan Walker. She believes in me. This letter means more to me than anything in the world.
That letter, Your Honor, was delivered by the United States Post Office, an official agency of the federal government. The Post Office Department is one of the largest business concerns in the world. Last year, it did a gross volume of over $1 billion, and
Your Honor, I'm sure we're all gratified that the Post Office is getting along so well. But what bearing has it on the sanity of that man?
My point is that the Post Office Department is a model of efficiency. Furthermore, the laws of this country make it a criminal offense to willfully misdirect mail or intentionally deliver it to the wrong party.
The state of New York is second to none in its admiration of the Post Office Department. We're very happy to concede Mr. Gailey's claims.
For the record, Mr. Marrow?
For the record. Anything to get on with this case.
Thank you. Your Honor, that letter just received by Mr. Kringle is positive proof that a
company... One letter is hardly positive proof.
I have further exhibits, Your Honor, but I hesitate to produce them.
Come, Mr. Gailey. Put them here on my desk.
But, Your Honor,
I said put them on my desk.
All right, boys, bring them in. Put them right there.
Your Honor, what is this?
Empty those mail sacks on Judge Harper's desk.
But we got 6 truckloads out there.
Bring them in or be fined for contempt of court.
No, just a second, dear.
Oh, we'll do it, Your Honor, we'll do it. True rain, true sleet, true courtrooms, anything, we deliver.
Mr. Gailey.
Your Honor, every one of those letters and every one of those mail sacks is addressed to Santa Claus. The Post Office Department has delivered them. Therefore, the Post Office Department recognizes Kris Kringle to be the one and only Santa Claus.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed. And for heaven's sake, get this mail out of my courtroom!
So as soon as I got out of court, I came straight to Mesa's to see you, Doris.
Oh, Chris, I'm so glad you won.
Well, we're having a big Christmas party at the Brooks home tomorrow morning. I'd like so much to see you and Susie there.
We'll be there, Chris. Oh, couldn't you just come home now and have dinner with us?
Now? Tonight? Me? My goodness, Doris, it's Christmas Eve. Oh. Alfred, look. Look who came all the way out here to the home just for our Christmas party.
Chris, it's Mr. Macy.
Mr. Gimble, too. Oh, excuse me, Alfred. Mrs. Walker and Susie have to leave now, and I don't want to go without my shoes.
But Susie, darling, you've got so many presents.
Not the one I wanted. Not the one Mr. Kringle was going to get for me.
Well, what was it?
It doesn't matter. I knew I wouldn't get it, but I thought he'd at least tell me why.
Susie, I'm sorry, Susie. I tried my best,
but you couldn't get it because you're not Santa Claus.
Susan!
Just a nice old man, like Mother said.
But I was wrong when I told you that. You must believe in Mr. Kringle and keep right on doing it. You must have faith in him.
That doesn't make sense, Mother.
Faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to.
Huh?
I mean, just because things don't turn out the way you want them to the first time, you've still got to believe in people. I found that
out. Hello, Doris.
Oh, Fred.
Mr. Gailey! Oh, Mr. Gailey!
Merry Christmas, Susie.
Gosh, you just got here and we're just ready to leave.
Oh, I've been here, and if you're ready to leave, I'll drive you home.
Well, but before you go, Here's a map I've made for you. Now, you'll miss a lot of traffic. About 4 miles south, you will see Ashley Avenue. That's the street you want. Ashley Avenue.
Thanks, Chris. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Fred. And to you, my dear. And to you, Susie.
I believe, Mr. Kringle. I do. It's silly, I suppose. But I believe.
I don't understand it, Fred. The map Chris gave us definitely says Ashley Avenue. We've been on Ashley Avenue
stop
now.
Stop the car! Oh, stop the car, please!
Susie, what is it, darling? What's the matter?
There it is, the house! The house!
Susie,
what in the world?
She's running into that house.
At least there's no one home. It's brand new. It's just been built.
Yeah, for sale, it says. For sale.
What on earth is that child up to?
Susie! Hey, Susie!
Here I am!
Come right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. That's strange.
Yeah, I'll say.
No, I mean this house. I've seen this house somewhere. I know I have. Maybe in a magazine.
Mother, it's our house. It's the one I asked him for, Mr. Kringle.
Mr. Kringle?
I know it is. Oh, you were right, Mommy. You were right.
Susie.
Mommy told me if things didn't turn out just the way you wanted them to at first, you've still got to believe. And I kept believing and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Now where are you going?
In back to see if there's a swing. Oh, there is one.
You told her that about believing?
Well, you told me, Fred.
Sign outside. For sale, huh? Well, we can't let her down, can we?
I never really doubted you. It was just my silly common sense.
It even makes sense to believe in me now. I must be a pretty good lawyer. I'd take a little old man and legally prove to the world that he's Santa Claus. Now, you know that couldn't...
Fred!
What's the matter?
There in the corner by the fireplace.
Oh, no. No!
It can't be. It couldn't.
A cane. Chris's cane. Why, there couldn't be two canes like that anywhere in the world.
Silver handle and all.
Hey, you know something? Maybe I didn't do such a wonderful thing after all.
Our stars will return for their curtain calls in a moment. Now, here's Mr. Keeley with our stars. Mr. Keeley in Washington, D.C., and our stars on the stage of the Lux Radio Theater in Hollywood.
For a most delightful holiday performance, all our thanks to Maureen O'Hara, John Payne, Edmund Gwenn, and Natalie Wood, who return to the spotlight for a curtain call. From Washington to Hollywood and points between, you've helped to put us in the mood for Christmas.
Thanks, Bill. But we missed you at tonight's performance.
As I miss being there, believe me. But here in Washington, Edmund Gwenn sounded just as convincing as Santa Claus as he must have on your stage in Hollywood.
Well, Bill, I wonder how many people knew that Teddy Gwenn really was Macy's Santa Claus in their holiday parade.
Is that right, Mr. Gwenn?
Yes, that's right, Natalie. In fact, I've been Santa Claus so much I'm beginning to really believe in myself.
I don't wonder, Teddy. I'm certainly going to leave the latch key in the mailbox for you Christmas Eve.
No, just put a windsock in the chimney, Bill.
You really plan to make the rounds on Christmas Eve, eh, Teddy?
Well, you can't let millions of children down.
You know, Mr. Gwenn, you sound as if you did believe in Santa Claus.
And he's right, too. Didn't I just prove it?
Well, why don't we leave it to the Lux Radio Theater audience?
Yes. How about it, folks? Do you believe in Santa Claus? Yes!
Well, that ought to reassure the children in the audience tonight.
Tell us, Bill, how's the picture going down in Washington?
Splendidly. In fact, if all's well, I'm happy to say I'll be back for our big New Year's show next Monday night.
Something special, Mr. Keeley?
Very special, Natalie. A musical hit to warm the hearts of every member of the family.
Well, let's hear what gives, Bill. Sounds exciting.
Exciting it is. A play and cast that's topped our list of listeners' requests. And our stars are the one and only Frank Sinatra, the lovely and talented singing star, Catherine Grayson, and the ever-popular Gene Kelly. In Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's great hit, Anchors Away.
I hope you have Frank singing the wonderful tunes from that picture, Bill.
Yes, indeed. And Catherine and Gene, too.
Sounds like a great way to finish out the old year, Bill. Congratulations.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. And Merry Christmas to all four of you. Once again, the world looks forward to another Christmas. It would be idle to say that peace reigns everywhere on earth, that men confront the future with untroubled hearts. But this much we can say, that for one day, the world is brought together by the worship of the Prince of Peace. And if that spirit can burn so brightly for a single day, we have cause to hope that it may someday shine forever in men's hearts. On behalf of Lieber Brothers Company and of us at the Lux Radio Theater, may I wish all of you the happiest of holidays. We invite you all to join us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Frank Sinatra, Catherine Grayson, and Gene Kelly in Anchors Away. This is William Keeley saying good night and Merry Christmas.
Maureen O'Hara and Natalie Wood appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Captain from Castile and Daisy Kenyon. Edmund Gwenn appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Cass Timberlane, starring Spencer Tracy and Lana Turner. Heard in our cast tonight were Joseph Kearns as Sawyer, Alan Reed as Macy, Bill Johnstone as Mara, and Herbert Butterfield as Judge Harper. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. And this is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear Anchors Away with Frank Sinatra, Catherine Grayson, and Gene Kelly. Be sure to listen next Monday night to the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Anchors Away with Frank Sinatra, Catherine Grayson, and Gene Kelly. Stay tuned for My Friend Irma, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that's going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We're going to make way for This Just In, coming up at the very top of the hour. And we will have an encore presentation of yesterday's, well, you know, right? Yesterday's Mountain Stage. So this just in at 1 o'clock, and this mountain stage at 2 o'clock. And we will do another Radio Vault in a week at 10 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock. And we're all in for the holiday programming just for you. Got the mysteries as well on Sunday night here in 89.3 from the campus of Henry Ford College. We are WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. Have yourself a warm afternoon if you can. See ya.
The following pre-recorded hour is a WHFR Dearborn New Music presentation.
What is up, world? I am Rob with two B's, and this is This Just In, WHFR's pre-recorded New Music Spotlight Show, where we highlight 1 hour of the music recently received here at the radio station. If you are a local musician and you'd like to submit music for airplay consideration, please visit our website, whfr.fm, and click the Contact Us tab up at the top of the page. You will see all the information you need there to submit your music to us for airplay. We're going to start things off the way I love to start shows off,